This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, yeah, Clayton McKee.
I'm already losing my mind with buttons, buttons, buttons. Good evening. It's the show. It's 7 o'clock. It's a Tuesday night. You're in studio and live with us. This is Clayton McKee along with the staff. What happened, Martin? No. Okay.
Oh, can I have a napkin?
Oh, please? We have a whole roll of paper towels.
Thank you.
Yes. Oh, my heavens. I'm in studio with our usual cast of characters. We're here with Katie June, Marnie Ryer, and Al Perkins, who apparently are cleaning up some sort of a mess.
It's a wound.
Oh, Marnie. Marnie was running into the studio, and we have, there's Venetian blinds on the entrance to the studio, and I think it nicked her leg.
Yeah, I cut myself shaving.
No.
I use the blinds.
She's 14 and a half. Just got that first razor.
Oh, first razor. Is that the age? Is that about when it starts?
Like approximately.
Yeah. 13, 14.
It was a very, it was a special day.
It's usually the back of the ankle that gets you. That's usually where you...
Back of the knee. Back of the knee.
Like right up the shin. Right in your area. Yeah,
I did that as a 14 and a half year old.
You know the one that I love is that it's the one that's made for gals. It's got the really big handle, but it's got the razor blades are buried in like the oval thing of the... I love the infusion. Mm-hmm. The infusion.
Yeah. Those did not exist when I was 14 and shaving my leg for the first
time. But you could get one now.
Yeah.
I don't shave my legs anymore.
Well, you might want to bring that back up.
Yeah.
That's why you got no boyfriend.
You took care of your business, honey. You could have a boyfriend.
We are off and running. We join you each and every week.
The dark shirt is much better on that shit.
No, it was. What do you think? Hello? Have you not noticed what I wear?
I know, but I have this weird habit of like doing the boobies on the table, and oh my God, horrible.
I told you.
Like a shelf rat, like a rest.
Don't leave the house without full support. I told you that. We join you each and every Tuesday night from 7 to 10 Arizona time. We're glad you're here with us. You can catch us both on our live audio stream. And if you should choose to, we're broadcasting live in video where you can actually see all of us. Everybody can wave at cameras and do things. We're also, we are one camera down, the wide shot of the studio. So that's why you'll not see that for a little while until we get that repaired. We will be doing that. As soon as Joe
what happened?
Well, I think it just died for some reason. Sometimes, you know how electronics will just die on you?
Yeah.
No, he doesn't have it long enough.
Yeah. True story.
Just saying.
There is that. Well, this is our first post-Pride 2013 show.
I've had that fucking TV in my bedroom for 18 years.
Yeah, they won't take that heavy, motherfucker, will they?
Lazy bastard.
You could just put a sign on it, but leave it in your house that just says free.
Yeah.
Please take.
Let's just put it in your front yard. I bet it's there a week.
Yeah. Take this out first.
You know, Marnie, that's funny. It's funny that you say that because Trixie Deluxe, actually, she had told me that she was getting rid of a couple of things. And one she said was a flat screen TV. And I'm thinking, why are you getting rid of a flat screen? Not remembering in my head that they initially, when they made flat screens, they were a flat tube and they weighed as much as your car, but they were a flat screen. Because my friend Elaine Stein had one of the very first HD TVs, but it, again, weighed is crazy.
Oh, that one that you have at your house?
I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, finally. Yep. And I even put that on Craigslist to give away for free, and nobody wanted it because it was they really. Okay. The funny thing is, she got tired of because I said I didn't want to deal with it, so she set it out in front of her house. She lives behind Charlie. There's a high volume of traffic. One of them is still sitting there. The other one, some bum moved around and hid behind a palm tree. And then I think it just went.
And now it's a home.
They cut it out. And that's, he calls it.
Yeah, just broke out the glass.
But the big TVs. In fact, the funny, even I take a lot of electronics to West Tech Recycling because I believe that none of this plastic shit should go into a landfill.
Yeah.
So I take any circuit boards or plastic to them and they redo it. They won't take the big old TVs. They will not take them.
Really?
So I don't know what the hell you do with an old cathode ray tube TV.
I mean, we had one of those that took up like a third of the living room and it was just horrible. And we wheeled it out into the front yard actually and left the free sign on it. And a few hours later, it was still there.
Mm-hmm.
But leave it to Facebook. Leave it to those friends on Facebook.
I remember when you did
it
that.
It was like a high school friend. I grew up in the West Valley, if that tells you anything, that said, oh, can I have it? So they came over and I said, you figure out how to get it out of here, and it's yours.
No, yeah.
And then I felt really bad because she was like, is it in good working shape? I'm like, it's perfect. I hoped it was. I mean, it was free.
Oh.
She hasn't said anything to me since.
Yeah. Good or bad.
Good or bad.
Good or bad.
I'm not speaking to you, but I mean, I'm not. Well, I think she still probably has her back thrown out. That might be the other part of it.
She's still in traction.
So maybe it's not nothing personal.
She's just fucked up on pills.
It's nothing personal.
They haven't hooked it up yet.
She's fucked up on pills. That's good times.
Well, it is just post Pride weekend 2013 here in Phoenix, Arizona.
And look how tan some of you, all of you are.
Well, yeah.
I'm probably
You're tan,
not.
Marn. Yeah. You have color.
My burn and peel took right effect Monday morning very, very well. But I'm on the downside of that.
Well, you two were fantastic. Fantastic.
Oh, at the parade?
At the parade.
Thank you. We had a good time.
Thanks, Marnie.
That was very fun.
It was a little different this year because the parade started an hour early. And I don't think 75% of the people who come to the parade knew.
Yeah.
So we walked up to the parade, the judge's tent where we always broadcast from, where Katie and I announced from, and we're looking at each other like, where the fuck are these people? Because it took a while to get the crowd.
We had to start tweeting, and we were telling everybody else, tweet friends, tell them you're here.
Like, there were a lot of people even on Friday that were like, Pride's this weekend? Because it was early, and I thought, "What are you under a rock?"
2 to 3 weeks early.
Well, not that I mean there's no weekend that I associate with Arizona Pride because it's been every week possible
whenever
in the last 25.
And whenever it's hot. You know, and it was warm. It was beautiful.
Oh my God, it was so nice.
It was perfect weather. Yeah. And then after whatever the fuck happened yesterday.
Yeah, and
seriously.
Today,
which was a welcome, though.
It was awesome.
I loved it. I was so happy.
And I'm so glad
it
happened yesterday instead of Thursday. Saturday.
I don't know which one of you was happy for dust storms, but that was...
Well, no, the rain.
No, the rain.
I was happy when it
rained.
Yeah.
No, yeah, the wind, everything got blown around in the whole valley, everything.
So just to tie up what we said, because I bought myself a little treat, I went to Target for a pair of underwear, and I walked out $175 later.
Every time?
I know. You can't not do it. All of a sudden, I've got silverware and towels, and I wanted a thing of milk.
New headphones?
Yeah, new headphones, yeah.
Was that a bridal registry? What were you
every
doing?
Every aisle. No, you just end up with it. She's like, oh, look at their silver. I need 8 more forks. Sure.
Okay.
Everything is rational. In Target.
They must pump it. That's like a weird gas they pump through.
Sounds like an air
system. Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's similar.
So I started off with Jurassic Park 3 and Blu-ray, and then they were like, well, the combo pack for all three movies is only $15 more. So I'm like, well, the fuck?
Obviously.
It's practically free now.
You've justified that.
So I bought it. So I'm at home enjoying like all that sound I was telling you guys about.
Yes.
But I started on the third one because I was like, I wanted to see if it was really as good as I thought. Mm. It's not. Mm. It was just loud. So I missed what must have been a hell of a storm because nothing in my backyard was where it started. Like, things are knocked over. The fence in the backyard.
Is my truck still there?
Yeah, your truck's still
there. Okay, good.
But, like, the one part of the fence that's not cement moved, and my neighbors talked to me about it, and I'm like, okay, seriously? At one point, I went to the bathroom, and I paused, and I'm like, what are the sprinklers fucking on? What is that noise? And I came back and turned it back on, and, like,
it's rain.
The Wizard of Oz took place.
There was a little dog running around in your backyard.
Right, flying around.
The chairs were everywhere. I mean, it was craziness.
See, I didn't have that, which is weird, because we have a couple big vases, like big aluminum vases with sticks. It's very decorative, I'm sure. In our front yard. And those knock over at when I breathe too hard.
Yeah.
And they were like still standing. We didn't get the craziness. And we've gotten some microbursts.
But those little microbursts, and they really, Tyler, if you're not from here, we have microbursts, which are little tornadoes that take place in 1 square foot.
I saw one.
And wreak all kinds of holy havoc.
There was one years ago, and I don't... I was 95 maybe or 96. Anyway.
How old are you now?
Well, it was... How
did you just say that you were 95?
No. I thought you said I was 95
it was years ago.
That's what I heard.
Wow. Yeah. No.
Jesus Christ.
Definitely not there yet, quite yet.
Okay. You look great.
Thank
you're on that death den.
Thanks, girl.
I need your surgeon's name and the correct spelling of your name.
Katie, June is not her middle name. But we had one of those. It was where in the West Valley they ripped the roof off of the school my mom taught at. It was a really serious one. But I actually saw because I thought I was a badass, and I was like sitting on the porch until I watched the neighbor across the street's wooden fence that blocked off their backyard came off the hinges and actually lifted up in the air and was like spinning in the air and crashed down and like split into a million pieces. And at that point, It was time to go inside. Yeah. That happened like, you know, 100 feet or so.
And that's when you start collecting people's umbrellas from their backyards.
Oh, you're like, yeah. Oh, we had them in our pool.
Free.
Yes. Well, we had them in our pool. It was crazy. Our windows were like shaking.
Our local radio personality here in the area, Beth McDonald from KEZ, she always has a rule every year. If it lands in your backyard, it's yours.
Yes.
She's always said like that.
Until someone comes and says, that's mine.
Right.
Okay.
Which is probably, yeah. Is that how you got that dog?
It is. It is. We were going to name her Toto, but yeah, we're like, but no, so obvious.
Yeah, Tim and I had an extra umbrella in the backyard at our house for a good half a summer until finally a neighbor came around and was like, just thought I'd check. Did it land here? We're like, yeah. We weren't going to go house to house and be like, missing an umbrella? We just put it up.
But we've enjoyed it. So no,
yeah, use it.
Speaking of that little dog, had some old friends stop by and they said, now, what is her name again? And I said, Little. And I said, well, Lilo, whatever, went through this thing. And they said, I thought it was Patty Hearst. And I burst out laughing. I thought, I'm like, okay, yes, yeah, kind of. That's her middle name.
That means we're taking over.
Little Lilo Patty Hearst, yes.
We're taking over.
I love Little Patty Hearst. That's really funny.
Little Patty Hearst.
That's got to stick.
Yeah. Oh, you can get her a little monogram thing. It's LPH. She get a little
Whiskers is thing. With us.
There you go. Oh, I like it.
I saw him.
That's good.
Little LPH.
And you guys were great, as I said.
Let's turn that towards you.
But you guys were fantastic with the parade. I enjoyed the VIII.
She couldn't tell Roman numerals.
One of my favorite things. No clue. All of a sudden, I'm like, what is she talking about?
It was from the
Emperor, Empress.
Right.
Don't ask me. Then they shouldn't have.
She's just reading it. VIII.
Oh my God.
And all of a sudden, yeah, and then it came out. I was crying. I was laughing so hard sitting across from them because the look on your face was so sweet.
I know it's five. So I know V is five. Right. But I have no idea beyond
where to
that.
Go from there. No. Yeah.
You wouldn't just think that I is 1111?
No.
Well, remember we had the Super Bowl? No. We had the Super Bowl triple X?
The X's I get, that's 10.
30.
Yeah. I got 10, I got 5.
But that's the good one to not, that's the good one to not get, to think it was Super Bowl, triple X.
Right. It's too bad I was clued in for that one.
It's all right.
That's a good one to fuck up.
You guys were very good with that. And the how big is your bundle? When Cox
was that was
very
cute.
Yeah.
So. It was fun.
You had some good liners.
Well,
you
were even wanting to know if Buddy Early was paying attention to the Mesa police coming
through. And I absolutely have to give that up to Erin because she like is throwing stuff at me and she's like, look, it's Sergeant Ed Castillo. Where's Buddy?
Yeah. Oh, was he really there?
Apparently.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
Ed Castillo, not Buddy.
No, Buddy.
No.
Right. Right, but I sent him a text. I'm like, I wonder if Buddy saw Sergeant Ed Castillo. Takes us back to a day.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wait, now too many pronouns. Buddy was there or no. Ed Castillo was there?
Ed Castillo.
Well, that's fantastic.
The police department.
That's even better.
Right, so she texts me wondering if Buddy was, if he might have seen him, if he was somewhere along the route.
We're going to say poorly stalked. Poorly stalked.
Poorly stalked Ed Castillo.
Sergeant Ed Castillo.
Who may or may not have filed for a restraining order, we're not sure.
Oh, that is too funny.
That's a good point.
The greatest
Did Buddy actually stalk this person?
No,
just on the air.
We just talked here.
We tried to hook him up with Ed Castillo on our our listeners.
It was almost like listening again now.
We talked about it almost like if it was a missed connection on Craigslist.
that
was really
and out of nowhere, Erin like sends a text to me or called, like maybe even called at that point. I don't know, but she knew Ed Castillo, either was friends with him on Facebook or friend of a friend. Something like
That's
that. She's
funny.
Like, I know exactly who Ed Castillo
is. Oh, that is
what?
Too fucking funny.
Come on. Awesome. So it was really cute.
Oh, my Lord. Well, anyway, all in all, I think we all had a good weekend. I worked a hell of a lot this weekend, but that was all good. And Katie, you were at the festival for a while with the Sway Events at the
I
tent.
Was, yeah.
And are you there?
I did. I actually took Kelly and Palmer. We all three went, which was fun. It was a very different, obviously, a very different experience from years prior where I've just like gone with friends and drank a lot.
Yeah.
So
now you went with your daughter.
I was with my daughter and drank a lot. But we went
family
and it was really
bonding.
Fun. They announced big news. Drum roll, please. They announced the cast. Oh, yes. I'm on the next year's cast for Dancing with the Bars All Stars.
Very good. Very good.
Thank you. Hey, now might be as good a time as any since I don't actually work at a bar. Hoping I might be able to be sponsored by Q-Talk America.
Oh, that's fun.
We could probably figure out how to do that.
There's a bar in there.
Cute. Essentially.
Studio A has a bar.
I literally have, like, no home, which is very strange. And the cash It's weird. I'm not a bartender. It's so weird that I'm even in it. But they, the cash let me kind of glom on last year because they didn't have any bartenders that were participating. And I know the owners at the cash, and I know a lot of the bartenders, and so it was okay. And they let me come. Actually, this was fun. They let me come and do a guest bartending stint there to make it kind of legit.
Oh, okay.
And they said afterwards, you were great. You were really a fantastic bartender. You should come back more often. And I thought, you know, how good I was and all the drinks. I'm like, I literally opened Bud Lights. That's it. Like,
but
that's
you were good.
All
at it.
I did was
it's
open
a lesbian
Bud Lights.
Bar. What did you think was going to happen?
Which was perfect.
Coors Light.
Oh, yeah. Same wrist action, different bottle.
Different bottle. Mm-hmm. Kind of a different shape to it.
Subarus are made with love.
You never know.
You don't know.
Anyway.
They are. That's true.
So they have a cast member to this year. Kat Carlson's coming back as an all-star.
Yes. Right? Pussy LaHoot is.
Oh, yeah. Is Pussy?
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Pussy. Ophelia Buns.
Yep.
Kevin from Ion.
Mm-hmm.
Ion.
Keela. DJ Keela from Cobalt.
Yeah.
God, who else?
Oh,
Dusty Brinsmaid.
Oh, Dusty.
He's really... Emilio Minto.
You met Dusty's like...
Cutie from Switch.
He works at Switch.
Right.
6'3", former figure skater.
Yeah.
Yes. Typical hair, kind of like Clayton, that whole kind of...
Yeah, he's fabulous. So cute. He's so sweet fun. Kid. I
somebody
love
at
him.
Work the other day whose uniform, and they were so gay that their uniform looked like an ice skating outfit. I'm like, that's the gayest thing I've ever seen. Wow. And I wanted to take pictures.
Someone had like an actual
over.
Restaurant worker?
Yeah.
Oh, like, that's funny.
In the uniform, but the way that they had it bedazzled with the little sports hoodie over top of it.
That's great.
Priceless. Because I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to need a triple axel from you.
I'm dying.
What?
I can't see it from here. Are you bleeding out, Martin?
No.
Yeah, it's a superficial wound. We got a whole pressure on, sweetie.
I've been doing that.
Would you like some
Maybe
ice?
Maybe you should elevate it.
Really? She's going to sit here the whole show with her leg up on the table?
Yes.
No, I'm good. Put it on the chair. I'm leaning. I'm hunching.
No, don't move that because if I have to go to Studio A for a cocktail.
It's okay.
I'm good.
Should
I'm just
fine.
Hunching.
If I have to get a cocktail, I don't want to move a bleeding woman.
No.
God damn it.
And she's not pale yet, so she's not anemic yet, so we're good.
God.
I got a lot of
damn
blood
it.
In here.
We got a ways
got
to go.
Color this weekend.
You're good.
You got color.
So
I'm okay.
Dancing with the Bars was announced, so she's in that. Marnie was at the festival for a while because I ran into you and Aaron and Jason. I want to tell you something about Jason Covert. Covert Ops. Who's our chat room.
He's on there tonight. Mm-hmm.
I did not. I had not.
Hey,
I had not seen.
No, he's not. Tupper is.
I had not seen Jason in. It's probably been well over a year since I've physically seen him.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic.
Yeah, doesn't he look great?
Wow.
Yeah, he's lost 104, maybe more pounds.
That's
incredible.
He looks. He doesn't. He just looks totally different to me. I was like, for a second, I was like, oh,
he lost
Jason.
A figure skater.
I saw the look on your face. You kind of, I thought I saw that look on your face, kind of like, you're, oh, and then it registered.
It did. And the first thing was, it's like when you see somebody, it's that odd thing of like, because if you had told me, I don't recall you telling me, and I doubt seriously you did, but I'm like, you know, you say something, you're afraid to say, make a comment for fear that. It's not a good reason that you lost weight or there's something wrong.
Right,
you don't want to think, oh my God, you look great. Oh, you're on death's door.
Yeah,
okay,
it's
sorry.
Pancreatic
I've
cancer.
Done that before and it's awkward.
Yeah.
So,
awkward.
But no, but not, when I found out that he's been losing weight and he's good, I was astounded.
Yeah.
Very good for him.
Yeah,
very good for him.
That's very nice of you. Yeah, I'm proud of him.
Back in the early 80s, I lost a bit of weight in high school and I was in the gay bars and... I tell somebody, I'm like, the way I'm losing weight, if I sneeze, people are going to walk away from me. Like,
oh, yeah, right. Yeah. Well, that used to be a stigma back then, really big.
Funny.
If you lost any weight, you know, back in the early HIV and AIDS epidemic, everybody thought you were going to check out.
Yeah, I was like, no, I'm living on an apple.
Happens.
Oh, well.
And it's good. But the festival was fun.
Yeah, those are older pictures of him.
I had to stalk him on Facebook real quickly.
That's fine, go to my page.
I'm looking at the old pics, new
it's
pics.
Astounding.
Looks fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he really does look great.
Probably feels even better.
I feel like I feel like I friended him recently, but I don't know.
And he loves karaoke, so I'm surprised that somehow you have it wound up in the same karaoke bar as him at some point.
I probably would know him if I saw him.
Yep.
Probably
possibly.
And I probably friended him recently. I just don't remember. No. I'm sorry. I don't remember anything.
No, possibly. I don't remember true, but he, typically when we go out for karaoke or when we have in the past, it's been like on Saturdays. So it's a lot of when you're working kind of stuff. So I'm not sure.
Well, I used to do the Saturday Apollos.
Okay.
I've been known.
Yes. You've been known. Day in the past.
Oh, speaking of Apollos, may I just interrupt you?
And you may.
Can I steal your thunder?
This coming,
with all I got on here, you got to get your time in now.
Yeah, I do. We got a lot
coming up. Busy fucking week.
This coming Sunday, which is the 14th of April, not just because it's the day before tax day, but you guys may recall I made mention several weeks back that Edge Studios, which I work for, that's my day job, computers for bars and restaurants, we were involved in an episode of the Spike TV show called Bar Rescue. Where they come in and they tear apart a bar and they set them up for success. And they give them a lot of tools, a lot of things that they need to make them run better, make some management decisions and analyze things. Well, anyway, what used to be called Forbidden here in town over in Scottsdale, for those of you that may want to go way back, it was originally called Anderson's Fifth Estate. It was actually the bar where the transgender bathroom issue became a focal point many years ago when that came to head. And then they closed Anderson's Fifth Estate, made it Forbidden. It was a dance bar, gay bar for the longest time. Well, now it has morphed again. Now it has morphed again, and it's now called Stand Up Scottsdale. It is a comedy club. So our system was already in there. The producers of Bar Rescue contacted us. We went in and helped to redo their system. The cool thing is for us, we are now contracted to do 4 episodes next season as well.
Great.
Which is very cool.
That's cool.
But the episode that we were involved in airs this coming Sunday, the 14th of April.
Okay.
At Apollo's, we're going to do a viewing show of the episode. Also, coincidentally, the same day, it's Matt Little's birthday. So we're doing a birthday.
That's what that is. Okay.
We're doing a viewing of it. It's Matt's birthday. I forget what number this is with Matt. It's got to be 35, I think, 36. I forget what it is. He'll kill me. Anyway, so that's what I'm doing this Sunday. I'm excited because I'm very curious to see how they did it, how the show came out, because obviously I was there when it happened, and then I saw after they left and how it all, you know, kind of comes together and how it works. So it's very interesting to watch the show and realize how some things are.
Yeah. And I remember you being worried about how Matt was going to come out in it or how the company would come out in it. And I'm like, well, how are you going to come out bad?
Well, no, because
if it's up and running, then it's a win.
No. What we were concerned with initially was because, obviously, as any television production, some things wind up on the cutting room floor. You may get mentioned a lot, or you may be in it a lot, or you may not. Just depends on how the show is put together. But we were told by producers that we were, and it was very favorable to us. So we are very excited to see how
they spin stuff. So you never know how it comes out. But I'm glad that.
But I'm very excited to see how.
Was I throwing a glass of wine at anybody? No.
And it'll be cool to see this bar that we all know.
Right.
It'll be cool.
Now, we physically, like they do a time-lapse camera in the thing where they show the rebuild of everything. So there's probably like blurred images of us running through the thing, but we're actually not on camera. We're not in it.
Yeah.
Okay. But you know, they'll do a panning shot of the room before and panning shot after, and like the screens of our terminals will be sitting there and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But we are mentioned not only in the show from what we are told, we're mentioned by name in the show, but we're in the credits, we're on the website. So we're getting hopefully some
that's
really good
great
publicity.
For you.
That's
out of
fantastic.
This. Yeah. The other cool thing.
Because you needed to have more things to do.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, which by the way, I have a meeting on Thursday with him about that as to how this That's is great. Going to affect, because I'm a little nervous. Mm-hmm. I'm like, we may be really answering a lot of phone calls Monday morning. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
That's true.
We'll see how that's going to work. So anyway, that's the exciting thing coming up for me this next Sunday. What did you do? You sat at home and watched Jurassic Park.
Well, yeah. I went and looked at that. I went and looked at the condo.
I'm excited to hear more about that.
Yeah.
I just cannot get off my. I cannot face moving.
I will help you. I hate it more than anything, but I will help you.
I'll carry all of the really little things.
We'll actually broadcast live from
you. We'll be fighting over those.
I'll take your TV.
Yeah.
I hear it's like a feather.
It's the lightest
just
thing.
But at least she's warning you. Yeah. She's letting you know.
I'm taking the TV.
Not the one in the bedroom.
Yeah.
No.
So I think we're gonna go with due to HOA fees, I think we're just going to stick in that building, but that HOA fee was almost as much as my mortgage now.
Right, but did you find out when it drops? Like, because they're paying for
a
pool.
That's what I got to find out, but it seems like above a certain floor, you pay a certain HOA, and they're all pretty consistent.
Right, but it includes everything.
Right, everybody's talking about all these bills they include. My electric, gas, and water bill now.
Hey, your cable bill is probably higher than the rest of that shit.
Mm-hmm. Combined.
Okay, you're right.
Like, I don't even hit $200 on those three bills.
Right.
So I'm like, I can't. It's the HOA fee is like $735.
Oh, that's
I'm
insane.
Like, that's too much.
Yeah, it's a big one.
That's, you know, I literally would have to get rid of my car to really justify it.
Have you decided on a place? Because last week I remember you said you were just going to see if something spoke to you.
He saw three.
And it sang to me. It did more than speak.
Oh, he called me. Oh, like, he's like, you wouldn't believe how big. You wouldn't believe how this. It's so wonderful. He went on and on and on.
But budget-wise, I'm going to live alone. And that's the only thing. It would require a roommate, and then it would be possible. But then I'd be living with somebody, and I'm like, I can't do that.
Mm-hmm. Ready to be done.
You can live next door. You can live across the hall. Yeah. You can live
drop
in the same
by whenever you'd like.
Adjacent.
But you got to go home.
You need your own home.
Yeah.
But if you can figure out how to make the one a rental and...
Yeah, which is definitely a lifestyle choice. I mean, honestly, it really is. And it's... If I got rid of my car, the deal would be settled. Like, that's...
Anybody would like to buy a Ford car.
Oh, my God. And I had just come to that conclusion from listening to Joe DeGanzik whine like a little bitch for 6 months. But I absolutely cannot annoy people like that with the, can you pick me up? No, that's why you have a bike. How do you think I'm getting there? Bike.
Uh-huh.
Sorry,
this will
Joe.
Be our last show on Cute Talk America. I'd like to just say that.
Remember the Christmas debacle. I'm going to need a ride there. Joe, I'm riding my bike. What's going to be cold? Yeah, for me too. Like, put on a sweater. What the fuck?
Get some pegs on your bike and just carry them
when
along.
He kept telling me about all these different difficulties. I'm still not driving, Joe. That car doesn't move. That I won't sell.
Right, right.
Oh, and speaking of cars, with weather and with what happened yesterday, did anybody drive? Well, I know you didn't, Al, because you didn't.
I did drive today, and my car's a fucking, like...
No, did you drive by any car wash, manual Crazy. Or full service? Did anyway, the lines...
I actually specifically drove...
...were redunculous.
...by two different ones, because my car, I could, like, not see out of any of the windows.
It rained mud.
Oh, yeah.
I can't see out of mine. I got in when I was taking off to come here and went... Ooh. As I walked out there, I went... Well, son of a bitch, I don't have time for that. Ain't nobody got no time for that. And I just turned on the windshield wipers and thought, well, there's mud. Okay.
That's as best as it's gonna,
and that's as good as it is. And hopefully,
the
line was insane.
I was at the close to the 15th Avenue in
Camelback. The clean freak.
Because I have a monthly pass to do that thing.
Yeah,
it was
that place was great.
It was the lot was full, wrapped through it, and out on the street.
On 15th.
On the street, so bad that there was a wreck, and cops were there because of the line. It was insane. So I just,
is that why yesterday?
Oh yeah.
No, wait,
right. Right near where you are.
When was I trying to get home? Oh wait.
Dun 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 dun.
Now that was yesterday that they had the cops had something roped off north of 15th, north of Camelback on 17th Avenue. Everything was all roped off. There was some kind of crime scene. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. It's a good neighborhood.
Yeah. Yep. So again, what was that HOA fee?
Yeah, exactly.
When is Tim moving back?
All those good things.
But let me tell you, this place is big enough. I guess I do need to buy it. This place is big enough.
Can you give us a hint? We don't want to tell any potential lurkers or thieves out there where you're living.
Oh, and it's Executive Towers. I'm not.
Oh, okay.
No, they couldn't get there.
No, Spider-Man
could rob him, and that's about it.
Walked in, and it was a holy shit moment. It's on the 18th floor, facing north. Floor-to-ceiling windows, 9-foot windows with a mirror at a 90-degree angle to mark off the dining room. So that reflected the East Valley. So it was almost panoramic.
Oh
and
gosh.
I was like, holy shit. And I said, holy shit, probably for the first 10 minutes we were in there. Walked out on the patio, and we were both like saying our prayers and making our peace with God to get on the patio. And I'm like, well, that patio there is a little close. Like, I know you have to be Spider-Man to jump across, but that's a little close for my business.
Right.
And so went into a bedroom, and I'm like, oh, it's got a cute little dressing area. I'm like, this bathroom is fantastic. The kitchen and both bathrooms are remodeled. I just gave away the one secret. So I'm like, this is a fantastic bedroom, perfectly happy with it. I love the window, and I hear, Al, you're not in the master. And I'm like, where the fuck are you? And he was down a hall that he could park my car...
And
his truck and his other truck in this hallway that was like all closets, all walk-in closets down this whole long hallway into a big dressing area.
Wow.
And then a big giant bathroom. And then the master bedroom that had that giant patio that I was saying was too close. That was
the master patio.
That was the master patio looking north. It was... It was stunning.
Now, wait, is Executive Towers the one just on right Central, just south of?
He could walk here
it's
in 3
on
minutes.
It's on Third. It's on the same. It's on Clarendon.
Yeah.
It's on Clarendon across from the Clarendon Hotel.
It's right there.
I know. Okay.
Google it. Yeah, when you see the building.
It's 22 stories, and this was the 18th. This was the 18th floor.
Wow. Yeah.
And the view was seriously forever. Like, I was like, and you got, it was a little, I looked down and somebody had an exercise bike on the 16th floor patio.
I know,
and I'm like,
where that is.
I'm like, are they fucking retarded? Sorry.
And we're there. All right.
And there's a salon so downstairs called Swank.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I know exactly what that is.
Yeah. There you go. You're good.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it's 7:30. It is the show.
So somebody just has to kick me in the ass and say, do it.
Like, I will do it.
We will move you.
Yeah.
I already told you we'll move
you. It does have an elevator, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Just kidding.
No, but we'll move
seriously, in living at 3rd Avenue in Clarendon, I don't need a car.
Because what I've already decided is that when you move there, because you'll have a parking space and you're going to get rid of the car, that's
you'll
where my truck's going.
Yes.
Yes.
I actually thought of that, too. I'm like, we have the parking space.
I love the, like, the signage, the, like, modern. Mid-century modern.
Built in 1963, if I'm not mistaken.
63, 64, isn't that right? Yep.
Got it.
Nice.
Okay, it's 7:30. It is a Tuesday night. You're in studio with the show on Q Talk America. I'm Clayton McKee along with Katie, Marnie, and Al. Headlines are coming up just gay moments from right now, right here on Q Talk America.
Are you ready for this? It's a 30-second dance break.
And now something special from your friends at QTalk America. If you're looking for an online retailer that's got one of the world's largest online and mail order selections offering the very best in gay entertainment, then your friends at QTalk America would like to recommend TLAGay.com. From gay-themed movies and adult entertainment on DVD, as well as video on demand, they also have other literature, ebooks, and all of those other things that you don't want your mom to find. TLAGay.com provides services to hundreds of thousands of customers worldwide. And now through the end of March, there's a special discount offer for all of our QTalk America listeners. Do your shopping at TLAGay.com/QTalk. Make your selections from all of the products and services they have to offer. And when you're ready to check out, use the coupon code QTalk. You'll receive an additional 10% off your order, and that's in addition to any other discounts they're already offering. It's a great deal from your friends at QTalk America and TLAGay.com. Once again, check them out at TLAGay.com. All right, here we go. It's a look at headlines coming at you at 7:30. It's a Tuesday night right here on QTalk America. Let's see if we can get through this. Man buys toy poodles and discovers they're actually ferrets on steroids.
Vajazzle, it's time for Vajacial, I think is what it is.
Cher is dead.
Cookie Monster pushing children.
New Mexico governor vetoes bill to help gay military families.
We have to recruit the gays.
And Georgia woman's camera washes ashore in Taiwan. This and a couple more coming at you right now. Oh, for the love of heaven's sakes, alive. Well, what I brought, I brought a handout for one of our stories, which will be fun for us. This is a story that I thought we will kick off with because I thought Katie would, as political as Katie gets and you get Al. Well, actually, all three of you. I'm not that person. But
and it's a surprise every week in your Alzheimer's.
Right, yeah, right. Well, I'm sure you all probably know about this. I just read about it yesterday online. I thought it was crazy. New Mexico Governor Susana Martinez voted on a bill that would have helped same-sex domestic partners of military personnel obtain professional licenses in her state. What that means is somebody getting out of military service, their husband, wife, partner, whatever, needs a professional license, be it a hairdresser, an insurance agent, a realtor. It would help expedite getting those licenses so those people could go back to work. And then to show that she really was a classy broad, she later signed an identical bill after she vetoed the one for same-sex. She signed an identical bill that only protected heterosexual military couples. Really, the bill was drafted to expedite a process for military families and recent veterans to relocate to New Mexico so that spouses or partners who need to become licensed in order to work could do so. Also, this includes teachers and or counselors. What she did is literally, she just slapped all gays in the face. Pat Davis of Progress Now, which in case you're not familiar with them, their statement on their website says that they function as a progressive communications hub and their mission centers on promotion and progressive policies and ideas, correcting conservative misinformation and holding elected officials to be accountable. Pat Davis from Progress Now said that the Republican governor's message basically stated, if you're gay, we're not going to help you.
Yeah.
The law takes effect July 1st of this year. I just thought that was insane.
She's a cunt.
That was insane.
I mean, I don't know her, but that's all that you can call her.
I'm kind of shocked because New Mexico has been making such great strides to be like a Democratic stronghold.
Yeah.
But all these weird Democratic states have these crazy fucking Republican governors.
Right.
Well, and in the same vein, we had actually Kyrsten Sinema when she was a part of the state legislature here. Sponsored that exact same bill, but in support of, and I don't know that there was, I don't know that there was a difference. I don't think that it wasn't designated at all. I mean, if, you know, of course we don't have gay marriage is not legally recognized in Arizona, but certainly I can imagine that if you are the partner of a active duty military member, that you would have been assigned, you would have been allowed and enjoyed that same opportunity to become licensed. But Kyrsten sponsored that bill in here in Arizona.
The other thing that I thought was interesting in regards to the story that I read, and then I watched a couple news reports on it, and by all means, if you want to find out more about this crazy lady, look online, look for New Mexico governor, and you can find it. It's all over the news. It was part of what they were trying to do was promote the fact that they have a large post-military, I guess, family faction in the state for these people, and they wanted to build on that. Obviously, it helps the economy. Okay. It builds things there, yada, yada. But to literally just cut out and exclude an entire group of people, cheesy peeps.
Just one.
Yeah,
just you guys.
But literally, apparently the bill, and I have not read the bill, but apparently it was almost verbatim bill, which was approved for the straight people as opposed to the one that was for... I'm like, wow, that's really being a bitch. That was crazy.
I enjoy Katie's word. She's a cunt.
Right. Yeah. Right there.
No, she earns it.
Yeah. Yeah, she has definitely earned that.
And she's apparently a big up and comer in the Republican Party. She gave she was championed as giving a kind of a great speech at the whatever the Republican National Convention last year. But
wasn't that great.
When did Bill Richards no longer become governor? I didn't know he was out.
Mm. Oh, it's been a while.
Yeah. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, but wasn't it because he took on Bill Richardson took on the Secretary of blah blah blah.
I want to say the interior, but maybe that's not right.
But I think it's about environment.
Did he try to make a run for president?
Yeah, he was
a very short-lived
in 08. But I believe when Obama became president, that Richardson accepted a position.
Okay, in his cabinet. So he got appointed out, kind of like what Napolitano did here. She got appointed out of our state. Got it.
Right.
To everyone's horror.
Yeah. Exactly.
Got it.
But yeah, I'm sure that that's what it was.
Got it. Good morning.
Well, on a different note, and I knew that I would. I kind of practiced the word, but another beauty essential for the well-maintained modern woman. Forget about that vajazzling. It's time for the vajacial.
Oh, vajacial.
Vajacial. I don't know what this is yet, but I kind of already want one.
Well, you're going to have another kid shoot out of that cannon. You're going to probably need one.
You might need one. First came this vajazzle. Now get ready for the more indulgent modern beauty treatment. This vajacial. The quest for perfect skin has gone to a new frontier with a facial for vaginas as an answer to the ingrown hairs and red bumps that some women experience after bikini wax.
Too far.
The vajacial is designed to soothe and beautify the area.
Oh.
The region.
Yes, the region, as it
the
were.
The nether regions.
Thanks to The Only Way is Essex introducing the vajazzle to the public, or pubic as it were, British women are more focused than ever on their nether regions. Yes. So I thought that was hysterical. Just when I read the title, the headline, I thought that's just great. Apparently in San Francisco, if you're to go, Katie, Strip Wax Bar, they have high demand It has increased 30% each year since they started offering this in 2010.
I guess that's because they do have back facials and stuff like that. Any area that gets bumpy or unpleasant. Sure. And, you know, I know there's I know people that suffer from the back knee, so, you know.
I'm pretty much guessing anywhere, an esthetician is going to, if whatever you want done, they're going to do it.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
find a way.
If you want the back of your neck to be facialized or whatever they call it.
But if a gold bond powder won't help, I'm not sure.
Well, I understand
I can't wait for
the day
she
comes in and says she had one.
I'm all set, like, and I waxed, and it's fine. And
you've got people going down there. I clean it up. Yeah. Why not?
I'm lasered
now. It's like anal bleaching.
Really, even laser is the only way to go. But I don't know. I mean, I just don't know. Like, I can do the laser and I can do the wax, but to actually lay legs just splayed open for someone to just
they play gentle music.
Yes!
And trickling water.
It's so weird.
Let me just ease your tensions. I think this is going to be a hand job.
I think so too.
So, okay,
you'll
I'm
feel
down.
A slight pressure.
Yeah.
Just relax.
Slight pressure. Wow, Mara.
That's the noise that when you fart when you get a little too relaxed. So Bill Richardson was almost the Secretary of Commerce.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he had to withdraw after an investigation for improper business dealings was brought up, but it was all dropped, but his career is ruined.
Okay.
But
he also, now, my bad.
He also termed
really
out.
He
termed out as
yeah,
governor.
Yeah, he is now a consultant.
Come to find out.
Wait, join the advisory board of Grow Energy. I know, we're really into him right now.
No, but I'm a fan, so I was like kind of embarrassed that I didn't know.
Yeah,
I like
me
how,
too. My bad.
I love how the people in our chat room, which, by the way, if you're listening and you're not in the chat room, get in it. Get on it, because that's where more shit happens. So we can run the show, and they do our research for us. I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
I love that.
You guys are good.
An Argentine man who thought he bought a pair of poodles at an outdoor market in Buenos Aires brought them home to a vet, only to be told they were actually ferrets on steroids, reports the Daily Mail.
I think all poodles are just ferrets on steroids. I think this is the problem.
The man, a retiree from Catamarca, purchased the animals at La Salada, which is Argentine's largest outdoor market. The veterinarian informed him that the ferrets had, quote, had been given steroids at birth to increase their size, and they'd had some extra grooming to make their coats resemble a fluffy toy poodle. The paper says, translating a report from a local Argentine TV station, he paid $150 per poodle. Another woman interviewed by the station said that she was tricked into thinking that she had purchased a chihuahua at the same market. I'm not sure.
Did she get a rat?
But the report did not say what animal she wound up with. It's unclear what the duped pet owners had done with their faux poodles. But if you're thinking about buying a poodle at an Argentine market, buyer beware.
Get a DNA test. And now,
seriously.
Now, I got to go with Patty Hearst over here.
Right. Yeah, please do.
Again, sure. I am not an animal lover, but the thought of paying money for a dog when so many dogs need rescues is just atrocious to me. I think it's
completely
like...
Okay, there you go. That's it. Look at the picture of this.
Picture.
So the one on the left is the poodle. The one on the right is the
real
ferret.
Dog.
Yep.
They're both just going to shit and eat. What's the difference?
Well, ferrets are awful. I mean, some people just love them, but they like...
There was a pet ferret at the parades. One of the banks, someone from one of the banks was walking with the pet. I did pet the ferret.
They're dirtier, and like you're like, where's the ferret? And then you sit on the couch, and you're like, oh, that's ferret.
I think if you pay money for a purebred dog, you deserve to get a ferret.
I agree with you completely. I don't. When you can go to the Humane Society and find a purebred, if that's what you're
doing, what you want,
and you need the AKC papers, you need all this, then I don't understand. Yeah. Really. I mean, there are so many
animals
out
there. Nobody's
trying
to turn your dog into veal. Take it home.
Really want a purebred dog. I don't think I do anymore, but I really wanted a spaniel.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not even purebred. I don't care. But I wanted the specific kind. Right. There are so many rescues. Mm-hmm. I know you're saying, like, Humane Society.
You're absolutely right.
Is
that what you said?
To Starbucks. Yeah. The wall at Starbucks is just lost dogs.
Like, no, but you're right.
I go to this, because I love Springer Spaniels, and I go to the Springer Rescue, and we'll just like look at my new future dogs, and there's just so many. So adopt.
Yeah, and then if you have, if say you wanted to get rid of Patty Hearst. I'm just telling you, somebody did it on Facebook the other day, and they just put a picture of their dog up, and they're like, done. Needs a home. Oh, yeah. She had, I think she had 75 requests for that dog. Oh, she started to take bids.
I can believe it. Well, and about the only time that I firmly believe in going ahead and buying an animal is that if you really want a dog and that you want it for your family or whatever the case may be, but you have to have it be the hypoallergenic, blah, 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 gluten-free dog, whatever the hell.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where, but they say, what did Aaron just tell me? Like, if you can cut its hair, then it's hypoallergenic. But if it has fur
versus hair, yeah.
Then it becomes the issue.
And I can't tell the difference, though. I mean, I don't get it.
Yeah. My friend had to have, like, one of those genetically engineered, and it's an Italian greyhound.
Oh, sure.
Oh, it's seriously, it weighs 6 ounces. It's
yes. Yeah.
It's stupid looking, but I have to say, it is the best behaved dog I have ever seen. They leave the house, and they really funny. Do need cameras to find out if the dog really does it, but... They've spied on it and pretended to leave, and the dog just sits on his pillow until they come home.
Oh, you're kidding.
And I'm like, I don't know how long that fucking dog keeps it up. Right. But that dog is really well behaved.
Yeah. No, but that's one time where I could see that happening. But otherwise, seriously, you're screwed. You deserve to have those ferrets. So the Cookie Monster was arrested for pushing a kid in New York's Times
Probably
Square.
Probably deserved it.
Yeah, there was... I mean, really, you have Cookie Monster, and all of a sudden your kid is on the ground. Bless you. 2-year-old that he became angry, Cookie Monster did, at the child's mother because mom didn't give him a tip. Mom didn't give Cookie Monster a tip. And so
you're in New York, kids. There's a grease palm everywhere.
So the mom told police the costume street character became aggressive after she snapped a photo of him with her
street creature. What'd you call it?
The street costume character. Street character.
That's fantastic. What's your job? Costume street creature?
She said he demanded $2.
I read the story. Right? I read this.
Demanded and then started to push the boy. Give me the $2 or I'm going to push your boy.
Beat up your
kid.
He's playing a monster.
Yeah. Well, Cookie. So anyway, apparently the Cookie Monster started spouting things and verbally assaulting the woman.
Yes.
Which you don't expect from the Cookie Monster. But then again, we could talk about Elmo. And cursing at her and calling her son offensive names as well.
Rat bastard child.
You little son of a... Yeah, ferret. Yeah. Osvaldo, you can help me with this, Clayton. Q-U-I-R-O-Z-Lopez.
Kiras Lopez?
Kiras Lopez.
Kiras Lopez. Yeah. See, I knew I needed help.
No, it's not European.
It's European. he was arrested for endangering the welfare of a child. Yeah. And clearly, information on an attorney was not available.
Of course it
wasn't.
And the stories were all very clear to say that he is in no shape, way affiliated with the Sesame Street production at all.
Yeah, they made a really big deal out of that.
When I was in New York. Oh, yeah. Remember, I just told you that. When I was in New York, that in Times Square, I was like, what the fuck does Cookie Monster have to do here? As I was walking around Times Square,
I don't remember Cookie, I thought it was a different character, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that there was like costume characters from like Sesame Street wandering around in front of like the M&M store. Like there was no commercial tie-in, but you know, there's the silver guy. Wild. You just buy the costume and you go out there and you try to make money.
Sure. $2 apparently.
If you go and fuck with the guy, the naked cowboy or the guy that's all dressed in silver that stands like a statue, you're going to get fucked with.
Right.
You didn't go to the friendliest place on earth. You went to New York.
Yeah, you're there. I saw a video where somebody was messing with one of the silver painted guys, and they were poking him. And did you see? And the silver guy was like, "Bitch, boom!" And just
they gave
like
a wet willy.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that was what it was.
Oh, I love it. I don't know who JJ is, but JJ says Cookie Monster fucks kids up, but Elmo just dot dot dot.
That's fantastic.
There's that.
I enjoy that. Yes.
Well, this is one that caught my eye, and the first person I thought of was our dear friend Al Perkins, because Cher's dead.
Well, I had heard that.
Some people on Monday thought that Cher had died thanks to a Twitter hashtag actually meant to honor the late British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher. The hashtag, now, if you have to write this down, do it. It says, "Now Thatcher is dead." So if you spell it out, it looks like it's "Now that Cher is dead." It was mistakenly read by some people as awesome. "Now that Cher is dead." Rest in peace, Cher, voice of many generations, is one of the headlines on the Now News website on Monday. A Twitter announcement went out saying Cher passed away this morning. She was 66 years old. And mistakenly, the hashtag now that Cher is dead was used. Or actually, now Thatcher is dead was used.
And they were talking about the importance of capital letters.
Yes, right. As comments,
spelling and punctuation,
as comments stacked up about the passing of the one who is to be left standing after the apocalypse along with cockroaches was this post. Quote, after publication of this eulogy, now has been informed that the hashtag that was used alluded to some British lady named Margaret Thatcher.
Some British lady.
And that the singer is alive and well and cozy in her Malibu estate. Now news regrets the error. Cher is alive and well indeed. In fact, yesterday on Twitter, she posted a photo of herself with son Chaz in honor of Chaz's birthday. And it says, you can see, oh, by the way, you can see the tweet that she did via Cher.com. The tweet simply reads, Chaz's birthday party, so take that, not dead yet.
How funny is that that's what it spells out?
It really does. If now, you look at it, it's now that. Funny. Now Thatcher is dead, and if you break it down, it's now that Cher is dead.
Because somebody sent me the link, and I didn't see it. Like, I didn't know. I was like, what's the big deal here? And then I saw...
Oh. Mm-hmm. It took me a second, too, because I read it Thatcher. That's how I read it at first.
But had you already heard that Margaret Thatcher had died?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay.
I heard that before I found out about Annette Funicello. Okay.
So now are we on Thatcher? Can we go with her?
Oh, we need to. Yeah. We're in headlines. Yes.
Is Thatcher dead being a headline, or are we moving? Can talk about her later.
We can talk about her anytime.
Whenever, yeah.
Okay, so Thatcher, cunt. So first off, I have my favorite three songs that were anti-Thatcher in the 80s. Money's Too Tight to Mention by Simply Red. Black Boys on Mopeds by Sinead O'Connor, which just, that song blows me away every fucking time I hear it. And we don't need this fascist groove thing where they're bitching about Thatcher, but they don't mention her by name. They talk about hating Ronald Reagan and Republicans are back in power across that great white ocean. And it's a great dance song. It's when you remember Dancing to Politics. We talk about that all the time. Okay, so Margaret Thatcher and the Miss... I'm just going to read you a little highlight of this. It was by Glenn Greenwald, and it's called Margaret Thatcher and Misplaced Death Etiquette. I hope all the people on the left of politics respect a family in grief today, following the footsteps of Santa Claus. Of all the naughty, this guy left a list of all the naughty boys and girls on the left who dared to express criticism of the dearly departed prime ministers. And everybody was going on and on about the people on the right, because she was very ultra, ultra conservative, like ultra conservative and a giant cunt. Like, this woman was hated by...
And I want to stop you there because you can keep going with this, but I don't, regrettably, I don't know anything about her. I have never...
Luckily, everything is gone, but she's this whole austerity, stop helping the poor, breaking up unions. Billy Elliot is very... Billy Elliot, the movie, is very much about, like, Margaret Thatcher fucking with... taking away miners, them, privatizing the miners and all that stuff. But it's just a funny thing to say that you end up kind of changing her legacy because, you're not supposed to speak ill of her. So all these people on TV that are saying all these good things about her. And you're like, no, we hated her. Mm. And then Martin Bashir, they cut to him on CNN and he was like, no, she started race riots. She had three black boys on mopeds executed. Like this woman caused race riots.
I can't say that I knew that.
Yeah, she's a cunt.
I believe that part, but I just didn't realize that.
She played a key role not only in bringing about the first Gulf War, but was using her influence to publicly advocate for the 2003 attack on Iraq. She denounced Nelson Mandela and his ANC as terrorists.
Oh my God.
Something even David Cameron ultimately admitted was wrong. She was a steadfast friend of brutal tyrants as Pinochet, who I can never remember where he's from, Saddam Hussein, an Indonesian dictator, General Suharto, one of our very best and most valuable friends.
Wow.
I mean, this woman's a cunt. So just in case you were listening to something where they were spinning her as, like, friendly, and Meryl Streep had a big problem when they asked her to play her, she told them, you have to find a way to get me to play someone that I utterly detest.
Okay.
So that was the whole thing. And I thought that movie did a great disservice, too. They hinted at her being hated, but they really didn't get into the fact that they were burning her in effigy nearly daily.
Wow.
Like outside of 10 Downing Street. She was very unliked. And this whole austerity program, this is all monetizing
it all
everything.
Starts with her?
Corporate
or
welfare. Yeah. Because
she the one that started
her and
that?
Reagan were in cahoots, and she mentions Reagan, what a fan she was. And when he stood at the Nazi graves and saluted the Nazi graves, oh, she was right behind it. Like, every reason to hate Reagan is a reason to hate this hate bitch. Her. And what she said about gays, if you find it, is horrible. Horrible.
Interesting.
Yeah. So she's a cunt.
I'm with Katie. I never knew. Yeah. And I never thought paid
that
too. Attention.
I heard enough that day of, like, good things about Margaret Thatcher. I was like, yeah, I got to bring that up. So I'm done.
Okay. Fantastic. Wow. Well, according to a Navy chaplain, gays have to recruit because three women and a dog can't make a baby. I thought of you because this has
the dog.
To do
sounds
with
like the
David
village people.
Pac-Man. Yeah. It has to do with David Pac-Man.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
And so I thought of Al when I saw this. But when I saw that headline, I thought, oh, for the love of Christ, what's happening? Navy chaplain. His name is Klingenschmidt.
Yes, and he's on David Pac-Man's show quite often.
Oh, is he? Okay. Yeah, it seemed like they had and that was one of the audios I had wanted to send you, Clayton, because that Pac-Man is fantastic.
He's good because he gets those crazies on the air and he gets them to spew their crazies.
He does, but then he goes, yeah, but that's not going to go over real well on my show. So let's go back here, you know, and brings him back. He was telling Pac-Man that for 6,000 years, biology books haven't changed and that Jesus is a scientist. He's a biologist because he's articulating simple biology when it comes to marriage. And that he just went on and on. I thought, what the hell? He's this ordained Pentecostal minister, and he focuses on biology of marriage, saying offensively that neither two men nor three women and a dog are going to, quote-unquote, mate and have a child. And that's why gays have to recruit the children of heterosexuals to propagate
so
the
I
gay
guess
species.
I was recruited. Because totally. I am the product of, well, four heterosexuals.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm the product of three because of being adopted in. So I agree, you know. Exactly. Yeah. Does that make us
it
more
took a village, yeah, it took a village to make me this gay.
So, I mean, this guy was just, and he was going on about the gay species. The fact that we have homosexuals today is simply a demonstration that it's only possible to become homosexual by being recruited.
Wow.
Well, sure. Well, perfectly
and sensible. I mean, promise toaster ovens, they never deliver.
Well, no, not at all, damn it.
I've made some gays.
What wasn't that Harvey Milk's deal? We will recruit you whatever.
To get you to come out of the
closet.
I'm Harvey Milk, and I'm here to recruit you.
When he says it, I love it. Exactly.
When Harvey Milk says it, I'm into it. Yeah. When that guy says it, I want to punch him in the nuts.
I'm almost schemed out, Klingenschmidt. Fucking Kuntenschmidt.
And then they have these horrible names. Like, you can't make that up.
Seriously, Kuntenschmidt, shut up.
He has... Oh, what's that? What's those evil fuckers from Kansas names?
Westboro Baptist Church.
He has Shirley. She is the queen of all cunts. He has
his
her
wife?
On. I can't remember if it's the wife or the daughter. Wife or daughter. One or the other.
Yeah.
But, and she just spews her hate and he like hits her with facts.
I would love to see that.
And she just shrugs. And there's another great, great website called liberalbias.com.
Okay.
And it takes facts and puts them through the Fox News filter to get you to where the Fox News reports.
That's so awesome.
It's called liberalbias.com. Okay. And that's a great website.
I will have to look that one because watching him, I've heard you talk about David Pac-Man.
Yeah.
And I have not had the opportunity or taken the opportunity to go watch. And so this came on.
Any day
I thought,
now he's going
to
say my name because I'm a sponsor.
But I just think, I don't know. He was pretty fantastic. So
yeah,
that was
and
cool.
he clued me in today to the guy that's trying to ban oral sex. So
I saw a little bit of that. I almost did that one as well. Yeah. But yeah. Okay.
And his other guy's like, yeah, I don't think it's going to be enforced.
I love your headline section in case I haven't said it before.
Well, we're here to recruit.
I will read. I'm going to read this last little short story before we do our crossover because the headlines are going to continue into next hour. A Georgia woman has been reunited with her camera and photos after the camera that she lost in 2007 during a trip to Hawaii washed ashore in Taiwan. Lindsay Scallon said that she was on a scuba diving trip when she lost her camera during a nighttime dive. Scallon tells WGCL-TV that she recently got a Facebook message from a former high school friend saying that his wife had found an article on a Hawaiian television station's website about a lost camera and wondered if it could have been hers. Scallon says a China Airlines employee found the camera, and oddly, all of the images were still on the waterproof camera's memory card.
Wow.
The airline, again, this is China Airlines, has offered to pay for Scallon to travel to Taiwan to retrieve her camera and meet the man who found it. She says that she calls this social media at its best, which I thought was very cool.
That is really nice.
So he found that it's got, what he did is he pulled the camera out of the water, took the memory stick, saw it, figured out that it was in Hawaii, got in contact with friends of his in Hawaii, and they identified where she was. And then they did a news story in Hawaii, and all these people were like, oh, I remember her. I remember the camera. That's how they found her.
That is crazy.
That's fantastic. Now, if anybody wants to break into my house and steal my camera that has the sharks on it, it's still sitting on the counter waiting to be developed.
It's next to the TV.
2 years later. 2 years later.
You might have to do that.
I have it, too.
Because I really want to see those pictures,
yes.
But I would have to get up and walk go, the camera to...
Yes, and I won't do it.
What's so the instead, word? CBS?
So instead, I let those two cameras from my underwater trip to Hawaii go back and forth between the back of my car, the top of my closet, inside of a drawer.
It's the show. It's Tuesday night. You're in studio with Clayton McKee, Marnie, Katie, and Al. We'll be back in just moments with more headlines.
You're listening to the show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
There we are. We're good. It's again the beginning of hour two. Thank you for joining us. It's Clayton McKee in studio at Q Talk America. It is the show. We do it every Tuesday night from 7 to 10. Thank you for being here, whether you're listening live to the audio stream or watching us on our YouTube channel. We thank you for being here. I'm in studio with Katie, Marnie, Al, and myself. We are in the middle of headlines, and as we continue on, Marnie has the next story.
Well, I'm not sure if I should talk because the light's on red.
I'll turn it back to you.
Okay,
me.
Thanks.
I'm not sure.
I wasn't
I
sure.
I do appreciate you paying attention.
Yeah, I totally was, and I thought, well, I better mention it.
I love that.
So there were those crazy Wisconsinites.
Oh.
You know, crazy.
They darn tootin'.
Oh, for Christ on the cross. They get a little crazy.
Okay.
So this guy was arrested for humping a discarded curbside couch. Now, I... Come on.
How did I miss this story?
Come on. Get out of here. I thought that that was fantastic. And I was so upset because apparently he made it all the way to Colbert. Like, Colbert even had something. And I couldn't get the audio for it. I couldn't find it. But I think that probably was pretty hysterical. So if we can find that anywhere, I'd love to hear it.
Guy humping couch. And where in Minnesota?
Wisconsin.
Oh, Wisconsin.
Yeah, because Minnesotans don't do that.
Okay. Wisconsin.
it was in Waukesha. Wisconsin.
Oh, Waukesha.
You know, Waukesha. It's right down there by Milwaukee. Then.
Okay.
anyway, so this off-duty cop is jogging, and he sees when he ran into this Gerald Strader.
Okay.
Making love to a love seat.
Making sweet, sweet, gentle love
to a love
seat. And so then I have Shepard.
Oh, my God.
Are you looking at Gerald Strader?
Because he's right
on
the couch.
And he still looks surprised that it didn't, like, fuck him back.
Yeah. He's like, but I thought you loved me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were so soft and mildly furry.
And it had rained. You were moist. So the...
Exactly. You got wet. I thought you wanted it.
Oh, wow. Or was that
what
rain? I don't know.
Lighting the candle.
Did you fart?
No, I keep forgetting to light the candle.
Anyway.
There's a Rent song in there that Katie and I are going to do later. Go ahead.
Good. This yellow couch was on the side of the road, appeared abandoned. And as he got closer, see a subway.
As he got closer, he tapped the couch on the top of the head?
Well, no, the other guy was tapping the couch.
That was good.
So he could see that this white male that was having sexual relations.
Sweet love.
Hips were thrusting up and down on the couch.
Oh, my.
So he decided to confront the male subject.
Oh,
let him
finish.
Because of the inappropriateness of his action. And to find out if anybody else was involved.
Why, wasn't it Scotch guarded?
Well, we don't know. At this point, we don't know. So upon approaching, he sees the officer yells, "What are you doing?" He sees the guy and the defendant jumps off the couch and looks at him, and then he began to run away. And when he stood up, he looked and he could see that his penis was erect.
Oh.
That's why you let him finish.
Yeah.
Seriously.
That way you can tuck it better between your legs and sneak off.
He ran up to the couch, the cop did. Noticed that nobody else was there.
I'm worried more about the cop at this point. Something's up. Did you want the couch? Were you going to take it home because it said free on it?
I think it was actually the cop or who was doing this and made it up about this streeter.
Is it next to a big TV?
Well, that makes a handsome set. If that guy wasn't fucking that couch, I'd take it home.
Oh,
that's
God. A fantastic liquor.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's not as good as his.
Oh, God, that was really good. That was good, though. Anyway, no one else was there. And so he had been thrusting his pelvic area against the cushions and trying to sexually gratify himself by rubbing his penis between the two cushions. What? It really? So, anyway.
It's a vagina facial.
A vajayshal.
A vajayshal. Anyway, I could not make that one word.
No. Anyway, he gave chase.
And he got chafed. He got chafed due to the corduroy fabric.
It was a 1970s.
The ill-chosen corduroy couch. Right.
So I hear a zip, 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 and zip, zip.
He lives with his wife, you know. He lives with his wife.
The cop or the homeless guy?
Not the homeless guy. Just fucking a couch. The horny not a homeless guy. No, just fucking
lives,
a couch.
Lives this wife.
Different.
She might want to put out now and then.
Then again, maybe she got mad because he was fucking the couch.
Yeah, true.
At
true.
Home. And he'd go find a couch, abandoned couch.
Cheating on me with a Burka Lionger. My God.
Because anyway, he's more comfortable than you are.
He was. He
skinny
was,
bitch.
He was. I like him thicker. He was charged with this misdemeanor count of lewd and lascivious behavior.
Oh, lascivious.
He adamantly denies ever leaving his apartment, but... Anyway, he says he wasn't there because he ran into his apartment, closed the door real quick.
That's the best
I wasn't out there. I wasn't there. It wasn't me.
Now, if you fuck a couch in a forest and no one's around.
Well, it says, thankfully for him, abandoned couches don't kiss and tell. So, apparently.
I found the Colbert Report.
Okay. Sweet, sweet love.
That says, it's a small excerpt. Someone in the comments called the man a sofa file. Super. He says, a 46-year-old man from Waukesha, Wisconsin, seen here in his eHarmony profile
page. Oh, eHarmony. ChristianMingle.sofa.
Find your
was
match.
Arrested for getting all sexual with a sectional. Now, I know there's not much to do in Wisconsin, but come on, buddy. Haven't you ever heard of meth? You seem like a natural.
I hear that his favorite place is at the room store. Yeah. That he likes that place a lot.
He plants his seed all over.
And this picture of the sofa, they have a explicit.
They've got the between the cushions X'd out for the black bar.
There's apparently not enough to do in Wisconsin. I think
we knew that before guys are fucking a couch.
They're just coming out of winter and it's still cold.
So the couch is getting laid and I'm still single. That's what I'm taking from this fucking story.
We're in the same boat.
Exactly, but not on the same couch.
But all of a sudden I'm reminded that by that story. You do spend a lot of time on your couch.
I do. Face up. We live in hope. I'm a bottom. We're waiting for it to grow a penis. TikTok sofa. TikTok.
We live in hope. Next caller.
What's your next headline, Al? Penis. Count those penis in Central Phoenix.
Virginia governor candidate Cuccinelli. I know. I didn't make that up. Defending law that forbids oral sex. Three judges on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit deemed a Virginia anti-sodomy law unconstitutional. The provision, part of the state's crimes against nature law, has been moot since the 2003 U.S. Supreme Court decision overturned state laws barring consensual gay sex, but Virginia's kept it on the books. Now, the problem with this law is that they're banning it not just for homosexuals, but they're also banning it for heterosexuals, and they call it the icky factor of this case, is that the sex was between a 47-year-old man and two teenagers that were above the age of consent. So it was all fairly heterosexual.
So we're talking about a Republican getting head?
Right.
Okay.
Everybody's old enough, and it's all consensual. But this guy, Cuccinelli, is just against it. He just wants the request done. He wants to appeal it again. So my question is, and I put it over Facebook today, I'm not looking for comments on this thing. I want you to find me the man, straight or gay, that with the person that they've chosen would turn down head. I've not met him.
Nobody. No.
I don't think he exists on our planet. Not even
not
one.
Not even in the diocese.
And sometimes it's not
or from a, I don't think so. Or from a piece of furniture.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Living.
Yeah. If you're on date number two with someone and you say, "Want a blowjob?" Never heard a no.
Date two, I'm talking about you meet someone at a bar randomly and you say, "You want a blowjob?" They are never going to say no.
You will never hear it.
I know friends that have gotten them in porta potties at the Pride Festival. People who have gotten them in really bad.
Well, we all know.
Yeah, everybody does. And I'm sure that Fred Phelps takes a little head from whoever he's consensual with,
male or female,
exactly. Whoever. Yeah. I do male not just. Know the person. And if you're on this board, it's like the person that says they don't masturbate. You're clearly lying.
Somehow.
Clearly.
Oh, I never go over the speed limit. Bullshit. Yeah,
exactly. These are like, oh, I don't like head at all. Why would I want something pleasurable to happen down there? That's what kills me about this law. Because you have to turn to every person in the courtroom, both attorneys, the three circuit court judges, and say, all right, you're going to turn down head. Even the women.
Yeah.
Your boyfriend wants to go down on you tonight.
Nobody's ever going to say no.
No. You're not going to be like, oh, no. I mean, unless you need to go freshen up in the bathroom for a minute. You know what I mean?
And that's just a pause. That's not a no.
Let's say you bought a new pair of basketball shorts that you thought were going to be fun to go to the gym in today, and then you found out what rayon does to your nether regions on a hot summer day.
And you need a vajay-shul.
Yeah. I realize why cotton is the only thing that goes near
me. Touch the feel of cotton.
Yeah. And covered in rayon. No. I wouldn't do it. So that's what amazes me, is this fucker in Virginia might be the only person on the planet that thinks, yeah, it's not so great.
Oh, my God.
Get someone with less teeth.
I was just going to say, maybe he just, it's never been done correctly to him.
I found
even a bad blowjob. It's like pizza. It's still pizza.
That's what I've heard. That's what so many of my male friends have said to me.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah, is that it's just still head.
Yeah.
So it's still okay.
I mean, I got a little mouth and big teeth. So, I mean, I've heard some complaints, but we still get, you know what I mean? But I don't get sent home.
You're grounded.
Yes, exactly. You're going to need a timeout.
You are doing it wrong.
But could you finish?
Get back in.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Do you have anything else, Martin?
Well, there was a Wisconsin man. We're back to Wisconsin, by the way.
Sometimes we're in Florida, sometimes we're in Wisconsin. Yeah. Go ahead.
There's a lot happening. A man was caught masturbating in the library and was banned from all libraries on the face of the earth, according to the judge.
No.
Apparently. They can't even get their rocks off without generating bizarre headlines, these Wisconsinites. Anyway, this Tyree S. Carter was in the library at 10:36 in the morning.
With a candlestick and turtle mustard.
When an employee reported the behavior, that he was standing in the open, not trying to conceal the act at all. And when the police arrived, he was seated reading a book at a table.
Like you do.
Well,
how to
when
make
you're
friends
done,
and influence people?
Absolutely, absolutely. Fondling literature, we call it.
Braille.
Audiobooks. That's what it was. Oh. So the police asked him if he knew why they were called. He said, oh, he had no idea. And then Carter later apologized and said it was his first time doing it in public. And, you know, then he kind of opened up about the whole thing.
And then he was on Oprah.
Right, he just gave it up.
He will
gave
be.
It up.
Do you mean he came
in
clean?
In a couple of weeks.
He came clean.
Well, he came. And he had been staying at the Homeless Assistance Leadership Organization of Racine, Wisconsin, that is. And he was transported to
jail.
He
is a leader.
Bond was set at 1,000. He faces up to 1 year behind bars, posted bail. He did post bail, which I was like, what? And was released from custody. But a condition of his release, the judge ordered him to, quote, stay out of all the libraries on the face of the earth.
Wow. It's going to be hard to enforce.
The mugshot wasn't immediately available.
I have to basically overshare, but I did have a little sex in the public library in Niagara Falls. I think it was Wednesdays that Billboard magazine used to come out, so I used to go to the library, ride the little bus downtown, read the magazine, and then maybe enjoy a black man in the bathroom.
Maybe.
Maybe. It's alleged.
I mean, I like it.
Well, the statute of limitations has clearly run out.
Well, they couldn't share his mugshot, so we're glad it wasn't you. But
it was a way to reach out to the people.
Did the story say it was a black man?
People who need people.
I'm just saying mine was.
I would just, maybe he was still there.
He might be.
He's moved around the country.
At a certain point, we were almost dating.
Well, he should call you then.
Sharing the library card.
They couldn't share the mugshot, but in the meantime, it says to look out for refugee cheeseheads doing unspeakable things in your local library.
Refugee.
All right, I need to read that.
Fantastic.
Give me.
He's going to read
refugee
that.
Refugee cheeseheads.
No, I thought, come on. Refugee cheeseheads. Yes.
That's funny shit.
Yeah, so I thought that was good stuff.
Okay.
Doing unspeakable things. That's sweet, sweet love.
Ask the couch.
Right? There's
a lonely
couch. That'll tell you something about the chairs in this library that he had to touch himself.
They were not attracted to him.
They had been brought in from Waukesha.
They was brought upright.
They were not attracted to him. I know we have a lot to get to in your entertainment section. So before we do that, I have one final headline story that we've got to get to. Some thieves in Berlin probably have some sticky fingers right about now. Police said Monday an unknown number of culprits made off with 5.5 tons of Nutella chocolate hazelnut spread from a park trailer in central German town of Bad Hersfeld over this past weekend. Now, the gooey loot is worth about...
The gooey loot. Same thing that happened in the library.
Yeah. And on the couch.
He didn't get to finish.
Now, that's a good point.
The amount of Nutella is worth an estimated $20,700. News agency says that they reported that thieves had previously stolen a load of energy drinks from the same location previously.
It's going to be a messy sandwich.
In regards to this, I have never had Nutella. Has anybody here?
Yeah,
I have.
You might want to find out where Erin was during that time because she's a fan.
I brought us all Nutella.
Oh, look at
nut and go. Okay, because of the way I read it, I thought it said nut and go.
Right, well, it's Nutella and go. So... I don't know if you can see this.
I love your treats as of late.
So these have little breadsticks in it and the Nutella. And I thought
I'm going to eat them now.
I've never had Nutella, ever.
Well, it's quite enjoyable.
Does your mother not love you? Why would you miss out on this?
When did this shit come out? Because I haven't been...
About 1910?
Oh, I don't know.
It was a British thing, right? Well, I first had it when I was overseas in high school And so when I came back and saw it here, I thought it was a British thing. Although I had another friend that went to Spain... to study abroad and was really excited with Nutella. He was so jazzed that he bought boatloads of Nutella in Spain and had it shipped home only to realize
it's here.
Oh, they sell it at Fry's.
It's peanut butter on crack. Let's just be clear.
Well, I love that they have the commercials. And Erin will always point this out, too, that they have the commercials, that it's great for breakfast, and it's great for kids, and it's so nutritious. And it's 23 grams of sugar, 4 grams of protein. But go ahead and put it on everything, I think the commercial says. Put it on their toothbrush.
And I just
put it on their
pancakes.
Put it on their pillow
as a reformed pot smoker, this bitch, and waffles, and you don't take away the syrup.
Is where it's at. Wow.
That is the munchies done right. You smear some Nutella, then you get a little fresh maple syrup right out of a Vermont tree.
Right.
You just get the gooey loot out of the tree.
Now, you talked about stealing a load of something, so I was like, I don't know.
Was there some crazy thing that we did a while ago about some other crazy thing that they stole a boatload of?
The maple syrup.
The maple.
It's stoners.
The Maple Conservatory in Canada, they stole like five, I don't know how much thousand.
I'm going to murder She Wrote This Shit. I got this story down.
We're looking for pot smokers.
No. Thank you for the treat.
I've never had this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are so many things I'm willing to stick into Nutella and then put in my mouth.
Do you like it?
This could go back to that oral
Let
sex.
Let me list the ways.
This could go back to the oral sex story from earlier.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It just did.
Yeah. Too late.
Next caller.
So old.
Okay, so at this point, I got to make a cocktail.
I love this shit.
Okay, well, I'm glad
it's because of all the... It's just sugar and protein stuffed in your mouth.
Oh, it is good.
I have another joke to make, but I'm going to let that one go. At this point, I think it's time for our...
Once you go sectional, you'll always have an erectional.
Here we go.
Oh, it's entertainment. Let me get to that page. All right. Old news, but Roger Ebert died. I was sad. Bates Motel is renewed for a second season. Sarah Gilbert and Linda Perry get engaged. What's going on? Hannibal's a hit. Kinky Boot open on Broadway. And someone that I know personally is a big star. I try to explain Saxby Chambliss again, but probably will fuck it up. And I want to help our dear friend Katie through her Mary Tyler Moore marathon.
Oh. I know, exciting.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I got to get to... Wait, give me a second. Okay, so Roger Ebert died. Now, Siskel's been dead for a while, so Roger's just catching up.
Wow.
Just, he had a few more movies. He had
a couple of more things
critique.
To see. Now, I first saw Le Monsieur Ebert. That's European.
Apparently.
I saw him in the early 80s because I can't remember if it was TBS, but we used to get a channel out of Chicago on our version of cable. Like, we were in that little general region. We got Toronto TV stations. We got Chicago. We got PIX out of New York. So we had some fancy fucking cable
right.
in Niagara Falls in the 70s.
Was that at the library or?
No. This was in the basement.
Okay,
there's people were having sex down there too,
just
don't you?
To make sure.
Don't you
just
worry.
To make sure. Yeah,
we
yeah.
had the Nutella out.
Bet you did.
So one of the first things that I have to say they championed for me is they are the ones that got me, Siskel and Ebert, got me hooked on art movies. But I would be lying if I could tell you whether it was...
Gene Siskel?
Kiss of the Spider-Woman or Room with a View that I saw first because of them. Like, what the first movie...
But
that
either way, that you could narrow it down to two is pretty good.
That
pretty
I was good. Like, okay, this is the movie that normally I would have been like you and been like, I never heard of that! Like, you know what I mean? That would be my reaction to, like, anyone saying a movie that didn't
I
have an explosion
that's
in
look
it.
I get on my face.
Probably not.
Maybe not.
But so they suggested to me, Siskel and Ebert, suggested to me to go see it. And I remember, and I'm pretty sure it was A Room with a View... And my life was changed forever because I was like, oh, my God, these movies that look like boring costume dramas can be, like, very funny, very sexy. And who knew the British were constantly naked with guys and penises everywhere?
Yay.
Like, good times and with cute guys. So just wonderful things being said around. And I couldn't do it Friday. Just because of his love of movies, not because I had any great affinity for him. In writing, I thought he gave away too many spoilers in his written movie reviews. He always pissed me off. On that, because he would give shit away that I'm like, keep it to yourself.
Okay.
But in his television ones, and I never remember what the new guy, Ropert, what was the new guy's name?
Oh, that does sound right, but let me
Roper, see. I think it was Roper.
Ebert and Robert, I think you're right.
Yeah. They were always so good, and they were always championing little films. They would always get you to see, like, what was new on video, which is what I try to do on here, is, like, here's something you can see at home. Like, if you don't want to pay $30 on a babysitter... Here's something that's good that's on home video. They would always keep you up to date, and their Oscar specials were always worthy. But then one of my – and then he sent me – I found it too, but then Clayton – what's your name? Clayton was kind enough to send me a list of Ebert's five favorite movies and his five least favorite movies. And this one – and I never
– And I actually didn't read through this, so this is going to be a surprise.
Yeah, what is the list?
So I never heard of this movie. But it was, it's called a lot like something. It's from 2005, and it has Ashton Kutcher and Amanda Peet. And it says, judging by their dialogue, Oliver and Emily have never read a book or a newspaper, seen a movie, watched TV, had an idea, carried on an interesting conversation, or ever thought much about anything. The movie thinks they are cute and funny, which is embarrassing, like your uncle who won't stop with the golf jokes.
Wait, and what's it called?
It's a lot like, and there's a picture over the name, so I can't actually see what it is. A lot like Love.
I'm pretty sure Kelly loved that movie.
It looks horrible.
With a plot line like that,
sure.
it was a sure hit.
Yeah, and then Armageddon. The movie is an assault on the eyes, the ears, the brain, common sense, and the human desire to be entertained. No matter what they're charging to get in, it's worth more to get out.
That's one that'll be on TV.
Okay.
I always keep it on. I don't know why.
It turns out I'm going to read all of them. Mad Dog Time, which is a movie with Ellen Barkin, Gabriel Byrne, Richard Dreyfuss, Jeff Goldblum, and Diane Lane. All great people. Mm-hmm. Mad Dog Time is the first movie I have seen that does not improve on the sight of a blank screen viewed for the same length of time. Oh, I've seen bad movies before, but they usually made me care about how bad they were.
Oh!
Wow.
Next.
I love that one. Okay, and then it's this one's called North, and I had the same reaction to this one. It's a Rob Reiner movie with Bruce Willis and Elijah Wood. Mm-hmm. I hated this movie. Hated this movie. Hated it. Hated every simpering, stupid, vacant, audience-insulting moment of it. Hated the sensibility that thought anyone would like it. Hated the implied insult to the audience by its belief that anyone would be entertained by it. All you have to do is change that movie to... Paying It Forward, and that's exactly what I thought. Like, in Paying It Forward, he dies at the end. The kid dies. I will ruin that movie for anybody because I hate it. I do not want that movie to make another dollar. So what if he dies in the end? And not by my hand. I have an alibi. Right. I know where I was when that little fucking kid dies.
I think Tyler doesn't believe you.
Okay, so then a good review is in his latest one. The craft in this film, Argo, is rare. It is so easy to manufacture a thriller from chases and gunfire, and so very hard to fine-tune it out of exquisite timing and a plot that's so clear to us, we wonder why it isn't obvious to the Iranians. Director and star Ben Affleck with Brian... Oh, that tells who's there. So, I mean, just fun reviews. And just reading them, I just remember how much he loves movies. And when he hated something, he did it with a little bit of style.
Yeah.
And he didn't have to call anybody fat, like that queer, mm-hmm. whatever his name is.
Ugh, yeah.
So I really did enjoy all of his time at the movies. Like, and I love the thumbs up thing. And I would look. I would look in the newspapers mm-hmm. to see if sure. it got a thumbs up.
Well, and
one of them I was more in tune with, and now I can't. I would have to ask Doug. Doug would remember because one of them I would agree with more.
I think it was with Ebert that I was far more Siskel for some reason.
I seem to think so too, but I would have to go back and read some reviews of movies. But
wait, so what were his other top five?
Argo was his most recent one. Being John Malkovich, which is just one of the funniest, just most entertaining, interesting movies you'll ever see. Great choice. Goodfellas, which I know he championed, and he's been mad. And he did a nice review. Whoopi Goldberg had nice things to say about him. But I remember his Oscar special was, if Whoopi Goldberg wins that Oscar over Lorraine Bracco in Goodfellas, there will be hell to pay for the Academy. And I have to agree that Lorraine Bracco's performance in Goodfellas.
So good.
Yeah, and that is one of the greatest performances. That really is true. That's true. I'll give him that one. Sorry,
Someday I'll see it.
Scenes from a Marriage. It's a 70s movie. It's an Ingmar Bergman movie. It's gorgeous. Scenes from a Marriage. And you just watch them fall apart. They love each other, but their marriage falls apart. Very intimate. Marnie will never watch it.
Probably not.
And then Bonnie and Clyde was his favorite with Faye Dunaway and...
Now, I was really shocked and stunned to watch the video of him because I knew Siskel and Ebert. Obviously, I'm not the movie buff that you are. And so
you are,
or even like a little bit, like not even like an 1/80th of what you are, but I knew what he looked like. Sure. Yeah. And I knew Siskel and Ebert, and I remember the two thumbs up growing up. And, I was really like taken aback when on the Today Show, they said, oh, now we're going to remember Roger Ebert. And they showed video footage and photos of him from recent years. I was almost like it was uncomfortable for me to watch.
Oh, he had a prosthetic chin.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah. I mean, this is someone...
No, the thyroid cancer.
Oh,
really,
my
got
gosh.
Him.
Yeah. Like, oh. And then I went...
You,
and
you hadn't seen any of that before.
No, I had no idea.
And to keep fighting. We talk about it all the time. There's a point where, like, I stub my toe, pull the plug, take the organs. Like, I can... That kind of persistence, I'm not that interested in next year's Oscars, truly. Yeah. Like, you can have it. I'm done. Like, there's no fight in me, like, to fight like that and for almost a decade, I want to say.
Oh, my gosh. Right. Oh, yeah. Well, and then I was, like, really... It was, like, the uncomfortable to watch, like, a train wreck when you have to keep looking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I couldn't... It was bizarre. So I went on... and was just reading about him a little bit more and kind of looking at some of his interviews. And there were, you know, photos of the progression that the disease took on him and how his figure, you know, how he changed.
And he kept showing up.
Yeah, yeah. But I read some things that he had written way after the prosthetic jaw. And, you know, he was just so positive.
Yeah.
And there was just, he just wasn't getting negative. In what I was reading on him. That he had written.
He kind of took a Christopher Reeves
kind of
stance of like, he showed up at the Cannes Festival every year and did his thing. And this year he didn't go and they didn't know why. But people were saying there was a lovely, lovely, from another person who wrote for the Chicago Times or Chicago Sun, wherever he was originally, that talked about how they spent all their Christmases together And that he, oh, I can't even talk about it. Yeah. But I'm sitting there crying, and I knew that when I read, like, personal stories from him that it was going to be rough. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm taking my break now. I'm going to go read Roger Ebert's
opinion. He was, but what a very inspiring, positive, and his wife, too.
Amazing.
Didn't know he had a black wife. Mm-hmm. So that was fun to learn.
She's very attractive.
So.
Well, and
but a cinephile in the best possible way.
To bring it back to something we had mentioned in the first hour, the Westboro Baptist Church was at his funeral. I sat there and I thought, motherfuckers, go away. What?
Somebody on Facebook said, are you guys tired yet?
Be tired.
But one of the biggest things, and I just remembered this now, Neil Jordan, who directed The Crying Game, went to them and said specifically to the two of them, like, you get more press, please keep the secret. Please, please, please keep the secret. And they did. And they honored that in writing, and they never alluded to it. And they gave it such great reviews.
I've never seen that movie. That
the
funny?
Crying Game? I haven't either.
So Boy George did a song for it. I love the song, but I have never seen the movie.
It's so good. It's where it really is as good as the hype. It's a phenomenal.
Really?
My God, that's good. 20 years, 25 years?
About 20 years. It's like 94, 95, 93, 94, 95, somewhere in there. But they kept the secret. And I will too then, because clearly no one is.
Keep it, because I don't know. But
seen one of the best movies ever.
The Crying Game. I don't know. He's terribly disappointed. I don't know when you watch back and you see the look on his face where he's like.
I see disappointment with him every time I talk to him.
There's this sound.
Clayton's very familiar with the look.
Yeah.
He thinks that's just Al's face.
Well, good. I'm glad. I don't want you to play.
I just didn't know. I knew this many people had not seen this movie. All right, so then I go back to my list. So
just in this dead.
All right, so the Bates Motel, which I've been watching, very, very good. Like they're keeping it up. It's weird. They're going a little Twin Peaks with it. Like maybe the town doesn't need to be this big of a character.
The Twin Peaks, so good.
Yeah, so good. They don't need to maybe make the town this much of a character, but really well done. Got renewed for a second season. The ratings are good. Sarah Gilbert from Roseanne and The Talk, which is the worst example of talk anything.
It really is pretty bad.
It's really like, oh, please.
I saw what you were on Facebook today, and I was laughing so hard about that.
I watched it once at the doctor's office, and seriously, I was composing my suicide note right up into the commercial. I was like, please find cancer. Please find cancer so I don't ever have to know. I know, I'm just kidding. Again, no bravery whatsoever.
No.
But they're engaged. Now, Linda Perry, you might know from her. She had a band, which I can't remember the name of. Four Non-Blondes. That's where Linda Perry comes from. And then she moved on to produce.
One of my favorite songs of all time.
Yeah. Unless you've ever worked at a karaoke bar, and then you want to stab somebody in the eye.
You really do.
It's like somebody who works at a guitar song to. Oh, you want to do the drinking word?
Yeah, you find an ending point because I just realized that we haven't selected that yet.
Yeah, I've got it ready, so go ahead. We'll get back to that. So.
Four Non-Blondes. Go ahead.
We'll talk about their gooey loot in a minute.
And I said, hey,
we'll sing you out.
We're going to continue on with entertainment headlines and more fun facts about gooey loot in just a moment after we get the drinking disclaimer out of the way.
And now, a drink along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye. And there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
We're a week behind, but our drinking word is going to be a great brouhaha.
Oh.
I can't believe we waited this long to use the word brouhaha.
It's a fantastic word.
And I don't know how to describe it. A great brouhaha was... Yes. Ensued. And it's good if you can get ensued. A brouhaha ensued.
Yes. Yes.
Then you're really having fun.
That is good. I like it.
So where do we leave off?
Four
Non-Blondes.
Yes.
Do we leave off?
All right. So I'm just going to catch up because I'm catching up on this. And Tupper, I will agree with you. Rocky 1 is one of the best movies of all time. And a great year. Find an Academy Awards. Go to IMDb and look up 1975, 76. I think that's 75. 76, Cuckoo's Nest is 75. And that is one of the greatest movies. It lost to Network, but that's the shit. And it's a hard year. Anybody could have won. Anyways, so we'll leave that. So Linda Perry, who after Four Non-Blondes had a she's still alive and recently engaged.
Apparently.
To Sarah Gilbert.
Yep.
Melissa Sue Gilbert from Little House Full of Fairies, her younger sister. But Linda Perry wrote and produced Get the Party Started and did a lot of songs with Pink. She's had a very... And everybody.
Christina Aguilera.
Christina Aguilera.
There was a big thing with Pink because, and like Pink basically broke up with her, with Linda Perry, because she started working with Christina Aguilera.
With other people. And she
was, she was like, oh, huh, you work with me.
Yeah. Okay. And so, interesting, and I'm very happy for them. Because Sarah Gilbert was engaged, was married to Allie, whatever her name is, Allie Larder, but I have that name wrong. The one that's a producer of Glee and is now part of The New Normal.
I didn't know that. Okay.
And The New Normal is about Allie and Sarah becoming parents and Ryan and his husband becoming parents.
Okay.
That was the whole point to The New Normal, is they wanted a show about their lives.
Oh, and then they
There's a chance that they might split up on The New Normal because she did.
Interesting. Well, there was the whole engagement thing was very interesting. I guess Linda Perry pulled out, like, took out all the stops. And did the they were on a picnic and she had John Waite come and sing and
Missing You
and there was
three number one songs with three different two bands and a solo artist.
Oh nice.
He's the only person to have three number one songs and
Savant.
Three different
Savant.
Yeah, there was a guitar player that was just sitting in the park and playing all the songs like that apparently Sarah Gilbert loves, and she's like, that's really weird that he would be playing. That's really weird. And, you know, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the people that were sitting over here, I guess, stood up and they were playing.
It was the New Jersey Mass Choir.
Right. Well, they were playing violins, and they had this, and then a saxophone player came out of nowhere.
If I could be sedated enough to watch an episode of The Talk, I'm sure they covered it beautifully today.
Well, and they had, I just read about it.
Yeah, as close as I could get to the animal. Exactly.
And then she had Sarah Gilbert turn around, and Linda Perry had both of their moms there to be a part of it, and it was quite something. I thought, well, all right,
and good for
well
her.
Done. I mean,
taking
really.
Some hints,
and I love it.
Everything that was on there, I was like, I totally could picture me doing some crazy shit like that. Except I really couldn't afford John Waite. Aside from that,
he's the babies.
I couldn't afford him. I said,
oh well,
it's just affordability.
I'm sure he's a whore at this point.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm sure it'd be a great brouhaha.
It would be a brouhaha would ensue.
Exactly. I'm going to have a drink to that. That's fantastic. Cheers. Harrison knows how much I love this word. I love the word brouhaha.
I don't know if that's how you spell it, but that's how I spelled it on the screen.
Perfect. I enjoy how you spelled it.
Yeah. We're there. Yeah. I had an autocorrect help. All right. Now, Hannibal. Thursday nights, 9 p.m. It's free. You don't have to kick out your mother or charge her more rent to get her to watch it. Favorite movie, Silence of the Lambs. I love Thomas Harris's
books. I've
seen
Hannibal.
Except for when he cashed in the money and he wrote the third one, which is not... I respect him for being like, all right, you want this fucking thing so bad.
Is that the one where they eat the brains, or some crap?
He just said, I'm going to cash a check while you try to make a movie of this trash.
Right.
But his Sunday Bloody Sunday is Thomas Harris. Great writer.
I'm with you, Tyler.
This TV show. I know, I can't do both. I can't read the
show. No, Tyler just said, I wonder if Linda Perry will put that much time into it when they divorce.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, then, you know, I'm not sure, but...
I'm sorry, but I saw it online. This is like the third time I've seen it. The Gay Divorce Court.
Oh,
it's going to be the best.
Huge.
Even I'm going to watch that. Reality
is
TV.
That a new show?
Come on, but
it will be.
But it will be. I mean, you have Gay Divorce Court and then Wedding Planners.
Yes,
come on.
Yeah.
Well, back to back.
That's
back
already
back.
On Bravo.
That is must-see fucking TV when it airs. I'm sweating over it. I'm so excited.
sorry, I didn't mean to.
But I have to tell you, absolutely perfect. I was like, all right, I'm going to give this 5 minutes, and I'm going to hate it. So I ran a bath. I got dinner ready. I'm like, I'm done. My nose was up. I was all set to be like
this.
A pretentious bitch. I was going to go all Doug Wilkie. I do not enjoy this.
I hate it.
Oh my God, they had me. I had to go take the fastest bath and shovel that food in while I was in the tub to get back to that TV. The tone was perfect. The casting is perfect.
Tell me when.
They have it all done. Thursday nights, 9 to 10 here in the central time zone of our TV. Phenomenal.
Okay, I'm going to have to
phenomenal.
Tune in because...
And they
I like your TV taste.
Yeah, they started with, they're starting with Red Dragon. So Hannibal's not in prison yet, but still making mischief.
Mm-hmm. A brouhaha.
A brouhaha. Oh. He's serving up that brouhaha. He's a charming British actor, and he was just on The Big C last year. He's married to the girl from Homeland, or impregnating her. I don't know if they did it with a ring. Or just gooey loot. I'm not sure how they got there.
and our word for next week.
Yeah, it is. I wrote it down. Gooey loot. Anyway, I love gooey loot. So we're a week behind. There was a great brouhaha made about their gooey loot.
Is it Hugh Dancy?
Yes, Hugh Dancy.
I knew that. Oh, no, Tyler did.
Tyler did.
Yeah. God, Tyler, you're
and it's Will Graham. Really now, good. Will Graham is from the first book, but Will Graham goes insane, and that's why they have to get Clarice for... Silence of the Lambs, because Will Graham gets driven insane and almost killed by. Oh my God!
I only know that portion of it.
Hello, Clarice.
Oh, I'll give you the Red Dragon to read. One of the those two books.
Really good.
I read both of them in odd day. So, anyways, it's perfect. The ratings were good. everything. The ratings were good. NBC's going to keep it, and I don't know if they can keep it up because a pilot's hard. A lot of times they don't keep up. Usually a pilot's good, and they got to water it down, and they get all kinds of producers that fuck with shit.
Happened to Glee.
Yeah. No, they lasted a year. Okay, Kinky Boots opens on Broadway, and I have a thing about this, and I have to read it because Billy Porter, he has a song in the First Wives Club. He's a friend of Bette Midler's. He sang at her birthday. She got a song called blah, blah, blah that's on the First Wives Club soundtrack when Goldie Hawn's all depressed and walking through the city because they all just had a fight, and they're looking in the windows. And they're singing that song. That's Billy Porter. Okay. He was in the Dreamgirls Live in Concert from September of 2001, where they actually sold out the show, even though it was September of 2001 in New York.
Love is on the way.
Love is on the way. So 2003, I'm at a bar called the Club Dough, Club Bar Dough. I'm there. I'm doing the coat check. Some guy starts talking to the coat check guy, and I'm like, Billy Porter. And he's like, what? I'm like, you're Billy Porter. I'm like, I listen to you constantly. Like, I love the song in the First Wives Club. I love you in Broken Hearts Club, the movie about the gay softball team. Mm-hmm. I listen to you, the Dreamgirls. Like, I know your voice. And he's like, oh my God. I'm like, we have a table. Do you have a table? He's like, no. I'm like, you can come sit with me and my friends. Mm-hmm. Well, Shane, the baseball player, was hot. Mark Martinez was good looking. I was funny. He stayed with us the whole night. He went to brunch with us the next day.
Wow.
And so it was a great time that we ended up having with him, but he's been waiting for his hit. And so the review in the Entertainment Weekly was, whenever Porter is on stage, though, that elevates the musical that might otherwise seem like a club-ready mashup of La Cage, Full Monty, Bill Elliott, and Cabaret. But Porter displays remarkable vocal versatility, making showstoppers out of three very different but equally catchy Lauper tunes. And it's written by Cyndi Lauper and Harvey Fierstein. And I'm just so excited that this guy that like spent a weekend with us and had so much fun with him is like... the big hit on Broadway, and I'm
in Kinky Boots.
Cannot wait to
go. But otherwise, they were not really into Kinky Boots. Is that what the?
No, they gave it a B plus, and they said that it's all good, but it's kind of standard fare. It's not based on the movie Kinky Boots. It's not a great movie, but it was fun. I think we're all over drag queen movies by that point. Yeah. Because
my mom
Broadway.
Saw it in Chicago and loved it.
And loved it.
Yeah, she really, really liked it.
It got great reviews in Chicago, but New York's a little tougher.
Yeah.
So I think I'm almost done.
I'm surprised you didn't. Do you have the Motown musical on your list of stuff that's happening? Because I saw that on different shows this week.
And then to lead into you real quick, I just have to tell a funny story because you started watching Katie Couric. And seriously, I started having a nervous breakdown with the teasers on Friday on the Good Morning America where she was teasing the interview. And seriously, it was a day of crying. If it wasn't crying about Roger Ebert's obituaries, I was crying about Rhoda being interviewed and don't go to the funeral until the funeral.
Oh, wait, this is, you're talking about
Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah, Katie Couric. Mm-hmm.
So then yesterday, Katie Couric interviewed the hot in Cleveland star. Right.
That's why I'm on board. Did you see that?
No, but I heard of it. Yeah. I'm waiting for it.
It was really nice, and they really all loved each other. And Cloris Leachman is kind of senile, but still funny, and they all kind of wait for her to tell a story.
Oh, my God, which is why I like her so much.
Yeah. But then later they talked to Valerie Harper about Bonnie Franklin dying, and it was so touching. Like, it was a very nice tribute to Bonnie Franklin. And I realized I'm going to have a nervous breakdown when Rhoda really dies.
Yeah.
Because just like Marianne from Tales of the City, I'm mentally ill about Tales of the City. Like, I think those people really exist. And Harrison's been with me in San Francisco where I ask cabs to bring me to Russian Hill, and they're like, it doesn't exist. Like, you're not the only person to do it, but I think they're real. Like, I think Marianne's a real person. I think Rhoda's a real person. And now she just shows up in an interview with Katie Couric. Like, I'm mentally off
and
the
they
road.
Call her Valerie, but they're liars.
And I don't know why. I don't know why she goes by the strange alias.
Do you also think that Mary Richards is real and Lou Grant?
Just Rhoda. Because I was Rhoda. Like, you know, chubby, funny, like...
All right.
You wore the scarves.
The apartment came with the best friend. I would have.
I know you would have. I would have.
Actually, you still could.
Yeah, I think
and,
he does.
And they probably make more sense now. Like, I would have.
And coincidentally, it makes a big brouhaha out of everyone calling him Valerie behind closed doors.
Sure.
And nobody knows why.
And you know they do. You know when I answer the phone at work and I'm like, you know, 11C, this is Al. Hi, Val. All right. Anytime I answer the phone, I get
hi,
Val.
Hey.
Yeah.
And I always get when when I report critical values, it's Valerie. Valerie Perkins did it. Just hysterical.
Val Perkins.
So
we're going to change your name on this show.
Back in the 90s, when Nick at Night finally got the
rights.
Everyone
would believe it.
Yeah.
You are so Val Perkins right now.
Yeah, I am. When Nick at Night got the rights to the Mary Tyler Moore Show, mm-hmm. I taped them all, and then I worked at Taco Bell, and they were taking us on a trip to San Francisco. I had never been. I was so excited. We're going on our first trip. Well, I did, because I was offered the 2 days before. I watched, and it wasn't the entire five seasons that Rhoda's in, or four seasons. It was just highlights of, but right before I was leaving for the airport, I saw the episode where Rhoda leaves, mm-hmm. and I couldn't stop crying. I absolutely could not. And now I have the DVDs, and I can't get to that one. So I stopped it. Like, I stopped at the episode before she leaves because I can't watch it.
Because I don't remember 100%, is that when she leaves with Joe?
Yeah, and she goes to have her own show. Mm-hmm. And they even had to change the opening. I can't even watch the shows where she's not in because in the opening, she's not in them. So I can't watch the opening song when Rhoda's not walking, taking the walk with her. Like, seriously obsessed with the show.
Weird, yeah.
So I'm crying on the airplane and making, like, a complete fool of myself. And the lady gets in, and he's like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, Rhoda left!
Dirty whore. She created a great whole
hoo-ha. I did. And they got me drinks, and it seriously took the entire flight and a lot of liquor to San Francisco to get me to forget that Rhoda had left and go on about my vacation. But I had to tell you that every time that Rhoda leaves, I lose my mind.
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
All right, Katie. More. Sorry, I knew it was going
to
be long.
Oh,
today.
No, we got 15 more minutes.
I had a lot of gooey loot to share.
We're good.
Sorry, I just took a bite, big gooey bite. Nice. Actually,
it's good work. Is it a brouhaha in your mouth?
It's a brouhaha in my mouth. Courtesy of Red Vines.
There you go.
Next caller.
I also saw the Katie Couric special, which I said today, and that's why. And when I had watched it, I mean, I know that everyone talked about Mary Tyler Moore, and my folks, you know, watched it back in the day, and. And I know y'all have talked about it when we started talking about Valerie Harper. And anyway, so I went last night. I was up, you know, one of those, you come home, but it's like late and there's nothing really on that I wanted to watch. I was actually watching a couple of Happy Endings. Have you seen that show?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, love it.
Really good.
We have to start a campaign on here to save Happy Endings.
Yeah, it's called hashtag Save Happy Endings. It's on Twitter. I've been like hashtagging it.
Doesn't involve a couch, does it?
No, but that show is stupid
it
funny.
It is really, 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 really smart.
Yeah, very
it's
fun.
It's smart, 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 fun comedy. Really witty. It's just fun. Anyway, so I was watching that, and then it was over, and I was kind of sitting there, and I'm like, oh, I'm just, like, not tired enough for bed. And I thought back to the Katie Couric special, so I went on and watched the first episode. So it was great. So I'm on board. Episode number one.
Yeah.
And I loved that you're really gonna crucify me, but Mary Tyler Moore,
yes,
the lead woman, is that her actual name?
No, yeah, but the character is Mary Richards.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
yeah,
but
then that's where I'm confused. Okay,
and Betty White played Sue Ann Nivens,
but not till later.
Who was the woman with the big weird smile?
That Georgia Engel.
Georgia Engel. Did she talk up like this?
Yeah, and she had Georgia Engel. In the interview, she has like she's always like.
Yeah,
she's like
she's
bizarre.
Really goofy. She was Ted Baxter's really loopy girlfriend.
Okay.
In the series.
Just as stupid as he was.
I feel like I recognize her from other things.
Yes.
And she's also done several episodes of Hot in Cleveland, playing the longtime friend of the Betty White character.
She was on Everybody Loves Raymond. She's been
everywhere. Maybe it's that.
Raymond. She's had more work, except for Betty White. She's had more work than the rest
of them. Rest of them. Okay.
But Meredith Taylor Moore doesn't care.
But I love that
she's fine.
She can just hang out. Mm-hmm. But I love that Mary Tyler Moore said, I was just interested in watching because she said. She didn't think it was going to go well, you know, at the very beginning, that she was really worried that the show wasn't going to be picked up and that people weren't going to respond well to it. So I was curious to, like, listen, you know, to the live studio audience, if people were getting it. But anyway, it's fun. I'm excited to go back, and it's on Amazon. I have Amazon Prime, so I'm able to get it pretty cheap.
And it's genuinely funny.
Yeah.
It's a really smart
show. Oh, no, I watched it on Hulu. Show. That's where I found it. Because it's on Amazon Prime. Anyway, it's on Hulu for free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very smart show.
There was a guy named Lorenzo Music. He was a writer, became an executive producer, and he ended up creating the Bob Newhart show. But he was gay. He ended up doing this. He was one of the first. I don't know if he was one of the first people, but he was one of the first times they didn't use a comedian to go and do the warm up. He would warm up the audience beforehand, and they were just so accepting of gays on the show, and then they threw the gay character in.
And I saw that they did that specific clip.
And it was so funny because as they say, like the tag out of it is, well, thank God he's gay and not dating Rhoda.
Yeah.
Because their rivalry is just precious.
And which was it, Mary Tyler Moore, or was it Rhoda that he was, this is Carlton, your doorman.
That's Rhoda.
Yeah. So he was the doorman's voice on Rhoda. He was also the voice, Lorenzo Music was also the voice of Garfield in the animated series.
Oh, yeah. Of it. And so, a big mo and very open about being gay. And he was, they were like 70s married to his partner that was another producer on there, and very out and very proud. And
And other names, and I believe was on Mary Tyler Moore, maybe not. Rhoda's sister, Julie Kavner.
That's Rhoda.
Was just on Rhoda.
She was just on Rhoda.
Just on there. Who is Marge Simpson, the voice of Marge Simpson.
Julie Kavner. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, it's
a different person plays her sister on there.
I forgot she was on that. Yeah. I totally forgot she was on that.
Sister.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it's such a good, and like I was like, everybody wanted that apartment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it's funny because, I just can appreciate, as I'm getting older, I find, you know, my dad watched all these shows when I was growing up. And so when I would be sitting downstairs watching the TV, and as soon as he would come down, you know, after dinner, he'd go, move. And I'd have to get out of the good chair, and I'd have to give up the remote control, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd sit, and I'd be like, why are you watching the Dick Van Dyke Show?
I loved it.
And you're watching, like, old reruns of MASH, which I don't think I could ever jump on board there.
But it's 19 years of it, so you can't catch up with that. Yeah, there's not enough time.
No.
I love
MASH. I don't think I could. I don't think I hated that song. And that song, though, was, like, playing in my house on the weekends. Sure. It was, like, just, like, always. Suicide was not painless. It was very painful.
But I give you credit for knowing that.
Yeah, it was true. Because I hated it so much.
Yeah.
But anyway, he was always watching the Mary Tyler Moore Show. That was kind of his bag. And so I would sit when I was younger.
Your father and I could have a really nice time together.
Honestly, yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
And I would sit when I was younger, and that would always be on the TV, and I just didn't get the Andy Griffith Show he loved, but I didn't get like
I don't get the Andy Griffith Show.
That might be too.
Oh, I love that
too. Is that like you like?
That's too country for me.
Okay,
I don't understand what we're doing in that stream. You know, find a city, move,
or a couch, just something else.
That's only in Waukesha.
There's no gooey loot in that stream. Stop hunting.
But I couldn't ever understand. Of course, I was way too young, and I was watching Nickelodeon and Disney. Why that was fun? And anyway, now as I'm getting older. I never really cared up until recently, and I hear you guys kind of talk about those fun older characters or those older
we're raising a daughter here. You realize that
it is an older
I
character.
Know I'm like it is, it yeah is. But those older characters that I just weren't around when I was like,
because in the 70s, to reference something 40 years prior, TV didn't exist,
right?
So yes. You're perfectly justified,
but I didn't really start paying attention to television really and like getting it until I was until in the 90s, you know, and that kind of when that show was in the 70s, it was just way before my time.
And I held older sisters.
Oh God, I watched TV all the time.
Yeah, and my dad, especially on Saturday nights, he was off, so that's why I know Saturday Night Live from the very first episode, because I would stay up to watch it with him. But he loved Saturday Night Television, and my sisters are older, so Mary Tyler Moore is my Barney. Mm-hmm. Like, that's like, who can turn the world on with her mm-hmm. smile? Like, that song is so ingrained
and
in my head.
And mine is totally, I love you. And only because I had a little sister, so I was aged way down.
Right.
Versus being, I was the oldest, and I was aged way, way, way down with my siblings, so I didn't. Ever, that was not my thing. So yes, anyway,
that's why I would say I was never a child because I came into the world like 8 years ahead.
Yeah.
Like, I had to watch what my sisters were watching and they weren't going to watch anything infantile.
Stupid.
And they
yeah.
were looking for like female role models and, you know.
So was Al.
Yeah, no, as it turns out, like the whole, and that's the whole thing with the high rise. And Harrison knows this. Like the reason that like I want to end up in a high rise is because Mary Tyler Moore did.
Yeah.
She moved from the cute apartment
right.
to the high rise. And when I walked in and I said to the realtor, I'm like, oh, it's where Mary Tyler Moore would end up. And he's like, yeah, she what? Does kind of end up here.
Yeah.
But
we have to get him like a beret? Do we?
So yeah, like a really cute.
You have
like,
no idea how many cities I've been to.
A-frame peacoat.
Yeah. Dun, dun, dun.
We'll have to get you a photo over here.
And the woman in that gives her the dirty look when she does it, mm-hmm. in her obituary said she was the woman who sneers at Mary Tyler Moore. Because they did that. Like, they were done shooting all the scenes of Minneapolis because it wasn't filmed mm-hmm. there. And then I think it's a Macy's. It was some department
Dayton's?
Store. Dayton's mm-hmm. filmed right in front of that. And at the end, Mary.
I grew up there. I mean, yeah, like, yeah. I'd been in that Dayton's.
And it was
my
a Dayton's.
Uncle
the, Dayton's. The statue's there.
And now it's a Macy's
it is.
Or something.
Nicolette Mall.
Yeah,
it's a Macy's now.
So she said, "Wait, I got one more idea." And she ran into traffic. So that's why everybody's looking at her crazy, because she's crossing against the light and she just ran out through her hair in the air, and that's why they have to freeze frame it, because the rest of it is a shriek of terror. And it's an HBO short.
The one moment of joy.
That's awesome.
Well, we are... We're coming up on the end of our, what I'm guessing is going to be the end of our entertainment segment before we go into our third hour. You've not mentioned one thing that I, what else is on your list? Your entertainment list. I figure I'm just surprised you haven't mentioned one particular thing.
Oh, go ahead. What?
No, I'm just.
There's been so much this week I can't, like,
no,
I could not keep a list.
No, there's a lot going on, but I just, to me, and again, I didn't grow up with her. It's just, I loved the purity of her. Annette Funicello,
sure.
Obviously.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Oh. And honestly, I left that for you because my sisters were in love with Cubby.
Oh, no. Sure. And mine wasn't even about the Masketeers. It really was. She was one of those people. I mean, I remember watching it, and obviously when I was watching it in the 70s, it was clearly syndicated and in reruns because that was started in 55, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Mm.
But I remember watching coming from school and watching it.
Little thing for Davy Crockett. Not going to lie to you.
Oh, you probably
something
still
about
do.
A coonskin hat. And,
arm.
And a brouhaha in the woods.
And I had some gooey goodness. What do we call it?
Gooey loot.
That sounds worse.
No, what I always loved about her, every interview, like you would see in her from the in the late 70s into the 80s, because you know, everybody was glamorous in the 80s, mm-hmm. but... Every time, hair, makeup, everything was perfect. Mm-hmm. She was always done. She was so well-spoken. Mm-hmm. She was always just the gentlest soul.
Yeah.
She was just
and
wonderful.
And a great spokesperson for MS. Like, yeah. really. Because I'm sorry, but every disease needs a famous person.
It does.
Especially when you're in nursing school. I'm like, all right, give me a celebrity with a disease and I'll remember it.
Right. Yep. But she was she was so wonderful and gentle. And I loved how in all of the, in the interviews where she, you know, was obviously you grow up and you do other roles, but when Walt Disney asked her to never ever show her navel mm-hmm. in a, she respected that to the end. She he never
really?
Did.
For Beach Blanket
he
Bingo.
Actually asked her.
Yeah, because said, like in Beach Blanket Bingo right. and those other movies with Frankie Avalon,
right.
that was the big thing. Everybody else was in a bikini except her.
Right.
Wow. Yeah.
On the Saturday morning rotation with my dad of like Sunday morning rotation with all the Andy Rooney, Judy Garland movies.
Mm-hmm.
Beach Blanket Bingo mm-hmm. was old enough by the time we were watching TV together to catch all those movies.
Because I think the first one of those was in 1961.
Yeah, they were just never my favorite
musicals. And not mine either, mm-hmm. by any means. Mm-hmm. It's just that she was the first Mouseketeer. She was that. And then she just maintained that beauty.
Well, yeah, and she's someone that I remember from my childhood, too, just knowing who Annette Funicello was.
Yeah, right. That was someone that when my mom heard that, she was...
I was
like, you know, because that was someone she, Frankie Avalon, and I don't know if that was a big thing for your mom, Clayton, at the time, but But yeah, she was.
Yeah.
Frankie Avalon.
Frankie Valli is the Four Seasons.
Thank you. That I always got those confused.
And they both have lovely voices. So it's and they
Frankie Avalon in Greek. No.
Frankie Valli's in Greece. But they both are. One sings Greece. It's very confusing. One sings Greece and one sings Beauty School Dropout.
Right,
Frankie
right.
Valli sings Greece. Frankie Avalon is Beauty School Dropout.
Then I have that right in my head.
They keep meeting in the same places, and they're both short Italians. Sure. I think from Jersey. Like it's tough.
And I totally forgot that Paul Anka wrote Puppy Love
about her.
About her.
Oh,
yeah. I didn't realize.
But not She's Having My Baby.
Well, no, not that one. No,
different
that
story.
Been.
Well, and Clinton sent a text about the Annette Funicello thing, and I had learned about it, and I read about it, and the first thing I thought, son of a bitch, why didn't I put her on the list?
Disney darlings,
totally
Disney darlings.
Okay. See, and I would.
I'm going to give it to us because it's a plucky old person.
That's true. Okay.
Totally wasn't expecting her or Thatcher. They were completely off my radar.
I thought Margaret Thatcher was dead.
Yeah, okay. I did too.
I thought they waited to make Iron Lady
didn't
until
even
she
give
had
her
died.
A thought. Oh, to be honest. I mean,
no,
what was that, Katie?
Didn't even give her a thought.
When I heard she was dead, I thought, still?
But no.
Again?
Yeah.
Again.
Re-dead?
Okay, boys and girls, it's the end of hour two. It is the show on Q Talk America. My name is Clayton McKee. I'm here along with Katie June, Marnie Ryer, and Al Perkins. We are going to go into hour three where, oh, for the love of God, we have Dr. Drew's Death Den. It's hard to say. Mm-hmm. We're going to start a new segment called Would You Rather, and also our Thoughtful Vulgarity segment is also coming up. And don't forget, the drinking word tonight is brouhaha.
Brouhaha.
We'll be back.
It might be hypothermia because it is fucking cold.
We'll be back right after this.
Listening to The Show on Q Talk America.